This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, as well as a premium Erotica Taboo Podcast, which contains more intense sexual themes. You can access the Taboo Podcast on Spotify or support the other free Erotica podcasts on Patreon, which will allow us to continue providing free content, as well as this gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choice. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction, with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. Dungeon Builder's Harem, Book 2, Part 5. Chapter 27. 3 days later found me crouched in the brush staring out at the Voriano Mountains, and the industrious dwarves working outside of the twins' dungeon. They were hauling stone across the valley to the peak that housed the twins' dungeon. I had traveled here with Maya and Baggy to scout the twins personally. Everyone objected. My mother, my little sister, Lana, and Maya. They had all argued against this. But I had to see for myself a way to provoke the twins into attacking me again. They would have to come to attack me in person. They now knew their monster girls alone weren't enough to defeat me. They would have to come in force. And I could see why they would have the balls to do it. The dwarves were constructing a fortress. They were building a castle around the entrance to the twins' dungeon. The castle was already well underway. The dwarves were laboring bare-chested in the sun, their beards thick and long. They were squat but brawny men who were hauling loads that would have crushed my spine with ease that I had brought only a small force with me. Three wildhounds, Dew, Nos, and Marwell, and Damhanala Myarachne. They were screened around Maya, Baggy, and myself. My Rakshasa's whiskers twitched as she stared down at the valley. "This is horrible," muttered Maya. "They've enslaved the dwarves who live here."
"Yeah,"
I said, shaking my head.
"This is why they are unafraid. The dwarves are their trump card. Look, there are some with weapons. They're guarding the other dwarves who are working.
That's terrible." Maya shook her head as she stared down at one dwarf who was yelling at a group dragging stones.
"Why would they do that? Help their conquerors?
There are always people in any society who support their conquerors," Baggy said. "When the British ruled India, there had been plenty who would support them and regress their own people. Those who did were rewarded. Wealth. Power. Positions of trust. These dwarves are the same. Opportunistic snakes who sense that they will be better off supporting their conquerors than resisting them. They'll be fervent too."
"Why?"
Maya asked. "Because they know that if the twins ever fall, then they are dead," I said. "In World War II, when France and Belgium and the like were liberated, those who collaborated were shot. The men, at least. There's a price to pay for siding with your conquerors. Those dwarven overseers will not want that to happen to them. That's why the twins attacked me without fear. I don't think we had to come all the way out here to see that for ourselves," muttered Maya.
"I needed to think," I said.
The travel had been nerve-wracking. We had to be worried about blundering into an adventuring squad to get here. The wildhounds might be skilled at sneaking, but I wasn't them.
"God, look at the statues,"
Maya muttered. There were statues all about the valley. Petrified dwarves huddled in fear.
"Object lessons. I really, really hate these twins more and more."
I glanced around.
"Look, there are the Gorgon and the Red Cap. Xiamili's companions. They must also stick around to remind the dwarves what happens if they are disobedient. The Red Cap probably drags the dwarves to the Gorgon so she could look into their eyes."
"No, not those statues," said Maya. "Look at the fortress. You can see where the wall's not finished. There are statues of the twins in them. Big ones. They've had the dwarves erect monuments of themselves.
Egos,"
I said. "They probably think they're gods or something, too. Get the dwarves to worship them and all that shit."
"Yeah,"
Maya said. Then she glanced at me.
"I have an idea. Oh, it's such a dumb one, too. I can't believe I'm even thinking it."
I frowned as she explained it to me. I had a lot of objections, but Maya was adamant that she and the monster girls could do it. It sickened me, but I was the only one there that had a problem with it. And it would be what we needed to get the attack started. It meant I had to return to my dungeon and prepare. It had to be perfect to receive our guests. A week later, we were ready to execute. I had returned to my dungeon alone. That was the one part that Maya and the other monster girls couldn't talk me out of. They wanted me to take Baggy back, but Maya's plan would require every monster girl she could get her hands upon. It was a lonely few days traveling home, but I was just a human now. No one who passed me would think I was anything other than an adventurer in my robes and armor, and with my spear. I wasn't one of the dangerous dungeon builders. I stayed in inns and ate the local food. It wasn't as good as my mother's food. Once I was home, the preparations were underway. Maya had been refining her plan while I sent her additional wildhounds to aid her. She had the entire pack with her now. They were lurking in the woods, ready to pounce. That NY dungeon was ready to repel the attack that would come. Though the twins had level 2 magics like me, I had a feeling they knew another way to travel fast. This world had magic. There were artifacts and wizards. The dwarves might have their own knowledge of it. I had to be ready that the counterattack would come swiftly.
Maya, we're ready. I said. You sure you want to do this?
I don't mind dying. Maya said. Just be ready to wake me back up and greet me with kisses.
That I will. I said, standing in my vault before the void crystal. The black gem hummed away, Celine sitting on it. She fidgeted. She could feel the tension in the air. Today would be a long, long day.
Execute it, Maya. I sent.
Maya shivered at the words. She, the Wildhounds, Damhanala, and Boggy had figured out the particulars of her plan over the last week of hiding and skulking in the brush overlooking the valley. During the night, they had infiltrated into the castle itself, sneaking in through cover, and now were peering out of one of the supply buildings. Inside the castle, the Gorgon and Red Cap were in charge. There were a few orcs that guarded one building inside the fortress. The armory as far as they could tell. The dwarves who guarded the prisoners went in there to turn in or receive their weapons during their shift. That was a crucial step to the plan that Maya had come up with.
Damhanala, are you in position?
The Undine sent.
The Red Cap doesn't know I'm above her.
The Arachne answered. The spider girl was adept at ambushes.
Take her.
Maya swallowed. She had never imagined in her life that she would be leading a commando-style raid of monster girls to free dwarven slaves. It was insane, but this was her life. She knew she would be called upon to do other such tasks in the future. Leo was almost alone against the world. Only Fujin seemed to be his friend, and that man scared the Undine. He was powerful. That much was clear. He had his own kingdom. That meant he was dangerous. He had been around for a while, too. He had killed Halia's father.
Red Cap is neutralized, reported the Arachne.
That was important. The Red Cap was a monster girl that was a skilled fighter. She was Zymele's metal companion, absolutely loyal to the dungeon builder who brought her to this world. A lover and confident. Now she was bound in webbing and kept from interfering.
Moving to the armory,
Damhanala said. Maya peered out the window again, her stomach clenching. This next part would be deadly. They had to time it just right. The twins would react, but if they were fast, the dwarves might have their chance to be freed. I hope so, Maya thought, the waters of her body rippling from her nervousness.
Ready,
Damhanala thought. Maya glanced to the armory. The pair of green-skinned orcs stood before the doors. Amazonian monster girls who were strong and sexy. They held spears, looking ready to stop with force any dwarf who tried to enter unauthorized.
Attack!
Maya shouted. The Wildhounds burst out of the building and charged across the courtyard. Dwarves shouted in alarm. Their overseers gasped as the monster girls raced past them and shot straight for the Gorgon. Behind them, Boggy loped, roaring with her feline fury. Maya went out last. She rushed to the armory. A dwarven overseer gasped at the sight of her and then lowered his spear. He rammed it at her. The weapon plunged at her flesh, but she was made of water. She opened a hole in her the spear shot through harmlessly. She grabbed the weapon and wrenched it out of his hand. Then she hit the squat dwarf across the head with it. The haft broke. The dwarf didn't so much as grunt. He just swung fists at her. He stuck her rippling surface. The impact knocked her back a pace. It didn't hurt, but it felt odd having waves rippling over her watery flesh.
I don't have time for this.
She snarled and thrust the spear for the dwarf's leg. She wanted to disable him. He grabbed the haft, stopping the point from penetrating his thigh. Then he wrenched the weapon from her grasp. She gasped, and then just cursed. She darted past him as he turned the weapon around. She broke into a sprint, ignoring him. Damhanala had one of the orcs tangled up in webbing and then had fallen on the other, but that orc had drawn her sword. The Arachne blocked with her front set of legs, her chitin armoring her more vulnerable flesh. Her boobs bounced and heaved as she fought. The Gorgon roared. The Wildhound snarled in savage fury. One of them had no chance. Three of them would lose. But Seven and a Rakshasa tore down the Gorgon. She was on the ground being ripped to pieces. Her death would let the twins know that they were under attack. Maya reached the armory. The orc slashed his sword at Damhanala. The Arachne raised her right front leg. The blade struck it hard, biting into the black chitin. The Arachne gasped as blackish blood spurted out of the wound. The orc grinned.
Going to cut you, spider, and watch your legs twitch.
Spat the orc, her breasts heaving in her metal bikini. Maya threw herself at the sword arm. She grabbed the arm and held on tight, her watery hands gripping the orc's sword arm. The orc growled, struggling to swing her sword and strike down the Arachne again.
Get her!
Maya shouted, fighting to hold tight. The orc headbutted Maya. Her vision distorted as waves washed across her head. She shook it and kept holding on, but her grip was slipping. The orc was so strong. Maya didn't have extra strength, as an Undine. She wasn't good at fighting. Damhanala's head snapped down. She buried her fangs into the orc's throat and bit her. She was a spider girl. So, of course, she was poisonous. The orc screamed in pain as the venom churned through her veins. She collapsed with foam bubbling out of her mouth. Damhanala turned and wrenched open the doors to the armory. Maya smiled and darted in. She grabbed a handful of spears and carried them back out. She spotted a group of dwarven slaves. She threw the weapons at them, a big smile on her face.
Fight for your freedom! Fight to defeat the twins!
One of the dwarfs picked up a spear. The overseer who had tried to stop Maya now shouted at them. He marched on them, holding his spear in his left hand, and drew a flogger from his belt. He shouted at them. The dwarves, all powerfully built males, snagged up the spears. They were young and angry. They had beards of browns and reds that made them look fierce. Maya winced as they attacked the overseer and rammed spears through his body. Maya swallowed. The dwarves didn't get to come back. They would die for good. The overseer gurgled and then he went still, his body ripped open by the three spears that had rammed into him. The liberated dwarf saw her standing before the armory. "It's yours," she said. Overseers across the courtyard were shouting. They knew that things would get worse. Maya glanced at Damhanala. She grinned at the Undine, her compound eyes reflecting Maya's pensive expression a dozen different times across the dark facets. "Let's go," Maya shouted to Bagi and the Wildhounds. Maya pointed to the entrance into the mountain, a grand affair flanked by the statues. They'll be pouring out of there any moment. This was the suicidal part of the plan. The part that Leo had objected to the most. But it was okay if they died. Maya and the others were expendable. They could come back. Their bodies were magical constructs. Nothing more. Dwarves flooded into the armory to begin their liberation as Maya led the monster girls to the entrance. They set up to fight the orcs, basilisks, unicorns, and Yukiana that would be pouring out to put down the dwarves. The longer Maya and her monster girls held out, the better chances the dwarves had at their rebellion. She didn't think they would succeed, but she had given them a chance to win their freedom today. If they succeeded, they would force the twins to retreat into their dungeon. Weaken them. Made them easy for Leo to assault with his forces. If they failed, am I condemning these dwarves to die for nothing? Maya wondered as the first wave of the twins' monster girls burst out of the dungeon. She crouched by the entrance to the dungeon. Damhanala crawled up the stone facade, carved with intricate scrollwork. She crouched to jump. Bagi pressed against the wall on the other side of the opening. The Wildhounds crouched low, ready to pounce and charge. The clang of metal echoed, then the first of the orcs burst out with weapons drawn. Maya threw herself at the first one. She pressed her watery face to the front of the orc and flowed around the monster girl's features. She smothered her, drowning the monster girl. It only took 2 inches of water to drown a human. Maya had heard that somewhere. When that water could cover a person's face, directed by a will, there was no stopping it. The orc thrashed and stumbled, Maya holding on. There were only a few ways she could be hurt. Fire, ice, electricity, and thunder. Things that disrupted her liquid form in ways that weapons couldn't. She knew the pain of ice. The Yukiana were her biggest threats. The other orcs fought. One was already wrapped up in webbing and another pinned by Damhanala. Bagi ripped the throat out of one of the orcs while the Wildhounds jumped in twos and threes on the others. Swords flashed. Nos was the first one today, her head spinning off her shoulders. Maya shuddered and averted her gaze from the sight of the innocent face. The orcs were dying too, melting away. Hela went down. Then CI before the first wave of monster girls was down. All save the orc that Maya drowned. She stumbled and then collapsed. Not long after, her body melted away. Maya shuddered. She liked being an Undine, but this was not something she ever wanted to do, but more monster girls were running up. The next wave. The dwarves were fighting back against their overseers. Some of them were yanking down the statues of the twins. Their anger resounded through the courtyard of the half-completed fortress. They were fighting back. They were stopping the enemy. Cold swept over Maya. She turned to see the Yukiana and the unicorns. A horn rammed through Dew's body. Damhanala webbed a Yukiana, but she froze the spider silk and broke free. Beyond them, marched a blonde and busta woman with skin as pale as frost. She had blue eyes that were as cold as glacial ice. She had the look of a warrior woman. Someone deadly and dangerous. Maya knew this was Let's Ice companion. A Valkyrie. She rushed through the other monster girls, a blade of ice flashing in her hand, and swung it at Maya. The Undine flowed from the attack. The Valkyrie, wearing an icy bikini-style armor, roared with fury. Her face twisted with rage. The blade hissed through the air. Maya dodged back. She undulated her body. She twisted to escape that weapon, but it caught her in the side. She gasped as the cold spread. The ice crystals grew in her. The other monster girls were fighting and dying. The dwarves were shouting. A statue crashed to the ground behind Maya. A great roar of triumph. Pain twisted her guts. The Valkyrie grabbed her by the throat. She glared into her eyes. Tell that coward that we'll be coming for him. He will pay for what he did. Maya couldn't answer, the ice spreading through her throat and up into her head. She screamed in agony unending as the freeze spread over her head, and then she slept. Celine hummed to her a motherly lullaby. The pain melted away. There was no hurt. She was at peace. Safe. She relaxed, letting Celine hug her. The motherly woman's breasts pressed into Maya's. Lips kissed her as she dreamed. Maya! Leo called to her. Maya! She gasped as Celine let her go. Then she was flowing. The world swirled with darkness, and then she appeared standing next to Leo in the vault. She panted, looking around the room. 5 of the Wildhounds were already here. Then Damhanala spun out of the shadows in the corner. The Arachne stretched her back. They fought hard, Lord Leo, said Damhanala. That pissed them off, Maya said, guilt twisting through her. She hadn't thought about what would happen to the dwarves if their rebellion failed. We'll know soon if the dwarves succeeded. Leo nodded. He had dispatched one other monster girl. A satyr lurked in the woods. Kerr would watch and wait, ready to end her own life and come home with the last warning if the uprising failed. She would be their canary, singing out if there was any danger. Chapter 28. I hugged Maya after the last of the monster girls were conjured. Bagi had held out the longest. I'm so sorry, I whispered to Maya, her watery form quivering against my naked body. "I didn't want you to suffer. It hurt," she said, staring up at me. "But we were doing it for us. For our family."
"That's right, Lord Leo,"
Boggy purred. She was a former companion to Jindag who now served me. "We pissed them off. I tore off that Valkyrie's head before I died. What we did today was worth the pain."
"Yes,"
Damhanala said. The Arachne lifted her right front leg and ran her hands over her chitin. "We are whole and hale. The hurts we suffered are already fading from our memories."
"Yeah,"
Maya said. She stared up at me. "So you can relax, you big perv. We're fine. It sucked, it did, but we're resilient." I swallowed.
"You sure? What you did can leave scars."
Maya pressed her face into my chest.
"I'm just worried about the dwarves. We armed them. I don't think it'll be enough. The twins managed to enslave them once."
"You don't know that," I told her. "They might succeed. They deserved to try, didn't they? You didn't make them take up the spear. You just gave them the opportunity to."
"Still,"
Maya shuddered.
"It feels like we're just using them. Leo, that can't be right, can it?"
I stared into her liquid eyes.
"I really don't know."
I kissed my best friend. I planted my lips on her. My hands slid down to cup her watery ass. I squeezed her butt cheeks. I kneaded her and pulled her tight against me. My cock throbbed against her hot flesh. My tongue danced through her mouth. She felt so wonderful against me. She was just a delight. My fingers gripped her rump. I kneaded her with passion. I held her against me, so glad that she was back in my arms. Our tongues danced together. Her thighs slid around my waist. Her wet pussy rubbed on my hardening cock. I knew that they would want comfort, my monster girls. They deserved it. Maya humped against me. She rubbed her hot vulva up and down my cock. Then her watery flesh slid around my cock. I groaned as her cunt held me tight. She gripped my hips and worked her thighs from side to side. She stirred her cunt around my cock. Pleasure rushed down my dick. She massaged me with her juicy pussy.
"Mmm, Lord Leo,"
purred Boggy. The Rakshasa licked at my balls. I groaned as she bathed my nuts with her tongue. It was amazing to feel. I shuddered as she soaked my nuts with her saliva. My fingers dug into my Undine's rump. I held her tight, loving every moment of her pussy working up and down my cock.
"Lord Leo!"
Yip, the Wildhounds do and see I were kissing to my right, the sisters locked in an incestuous embrace. They were grinding cunts on the other's thighs. On the other side, Marwo and Sisko were 69ing, feasting on their sister's cunt with such hunger. Damhanala moaned as she had Hila and Gwylty sucking on her nipples while Nos was licking at the spider girl's pussy, feasting on that snatch. I shuddered at the sounds of passion echoing around the vault. These islands of pleasure kept back the stresses of the world. My women needed to love each other. I had to love them, too. I had to swim with my mermaids and romp with my oozes. I had to fuck my Quetzalcoatls and bugger my werebears, nursing from satyrs and loving my will-o-wisps. They all deserved pleasure for their sacrifices, for their love and devotion to me. Maya pumped her hips, working her pussy up and down my cock. Her rippling flesh rubbed against my body, her breasts pillowing into my chest. I kissed my best friend with such hunger. With all my passion, I loved her. Loved them all.
"Mmm, Lord Leo,"
Boggy purred, her tongue bathing my balls again. She flicked them. Her rough tongue slid over my nuts.
"Just give Maya your cum. All your cum,"
Damhanala groaned.
"Ooh, you wicked hounds. Yes, yes, suck on big sis Arachne's tits and pussy."
The Wildhounds all saw the Arachnes as their figurative big sisters while Garnet was their little sister. It was so hot hearing the pleasure in my Arachne's voice as the Wildhounds suckled at her buds. Boggy's tongue had that rough, feline quality to it that was surprisingly stimulating on my balls. I groaned as I savored every lick and lap. The pleasure shot up to my cock buried in Maya's watery pussy. Her cunt rippled around my dick in strange ways. Waves flowed through her body. I could feel them rolling across her skin. They were everywhere in her liquid flesh. I pumped away at her, holding her light body tight.
"Lord Leo,"
Celine cooed.
"Ooh, Lord Leo, fuck her hard. That's so hot. I can feel the passion."
Maya broke the kiss and gasped.
"Such passion. That torch I've been burning for you since we were kids."
I grinned at her.
"I hope the other me and the other you can figure this out."
"Me too,"
she moaned, joy spilling over her watery features.
"But we're together. There's a version of us that have become happy."
"Yeah,"
I groaned, slamming into her cunt. The warmth of her twat, the silky embrace, brought me closer and closer to coming. My nuts, being so wonderfully bathed by my Rakshasa, brimmed with all the cum I would fire into her cunt. I would flood her snatch. Just pump her full of all my spunk. I grunted and groaned. I hammered her twat with powerful strokes. I fucked into her hard and fast, loving the way she gripped me with her tight twat. It was incredible. Such a delight. She moaned, her body undulating with larger ripples. The waves flowing through her grew stronger. I churned up her body. I grinned at that.
"What?"
she moaned.
"You're just so sexy."
I groaned, the pressure at the tip of my cock building and building.
"You better believe it,"
she moaned. "Mmm, yes, yes, that's why you brought me here, you big perv. Wanted my sexy bod."
"Yes,"
I gasped, squeezing her rump. I was so close to coming in her. I slammed hard into her, holding her tight. She clung to me, her arms and legs wrapped tight about my body. She held me with such a fierce passion.
I groaned, my dick throbbing in the depths of her cunt. I couldn't take much more of this. She kissed me again and squealed into it. Her pussy convulsed in a new way. Not waves rippling but flesh spasming with delight. I groaned as her juicy cunt sucked at my dick. I drew back my hips, her flesh rippling around me. I groaned and buried back into her. I fucked into her hard and fast. I slammed to the hilt in her, my balls smacking into her flesh. She moaned as I did that. Her body quivered in my embrace, her cunt nursing at my dick. I broke the kiss, gasping. Maya. I came. My nuts, bathed by Boggy's tongue, spurted blast after blast of jizz into my Undine's pussy. I flooded her cunt with my seed. She moaned while the wild hounds and my Arachne all groaned and moaned and yipped their pleasure. God, Leo. Moaned Maya. That cum. That naughty cunt. I groaned, pleasure hammering my mind. Such a perv. Uh-huh. She moaned as she milked my cock. Each blast of cum into her rippling snatch sent rapture blazing through me. I held her tight, her body shuddering and thrashing, waves washing over her flesh. I loved how they massaged my chest, her tits expanding and contracting. It was all so incredible to hold my Undine as we shared our pleasure. I fired the last of my cum into her body. The pleasure melted into euphoria. I groaned, so glad that I had my Maya back. That my wild hounds were here. I panted, Maya groaning. She stared into my eyes and winked at me. I grinned at her. Then she slid off my cock. I didn't pull out of her pussy. Her watery flesh just flowed around it until her feet were on the ground. She stepped back, Boggy licking up my balls to my cock now. I shuddered at the sight of my white cum filling up Maya's pussy. I could see the shape of her twat through her flesh, outlined by my spunk. Boggy's rough tongue reached my dick's tip. She flicked across the crown. I groaned, pleasure shooting down to my balls. A shudder ran through my body. Her tiger ears flicked, and her whiskers twitched. A naughty gleam shone in her feline eyes. Maya, lie down. I said. Boggy's hungry for cum. She needs it right now. I do, Lord Leo. Purred the Rakshasa. She looked so delicious with her tiger head and feminine body. Her swarthy flesh was delicious, that red-brown of India. Her striped tail swished behind her in play. Maya sank to the floor, her legs spread. The wild hounds were yipping and barking as some of them were coming. Damhanala's moans echoed through the room. She gave Nose a delicious treat of pussy cream. Boggy turned to kneel between Maya's thighs. The Rakshasa's tail found my dick. The fuzzy appendage wrapped around my cock. I groaned at the teasing massage. I shuddered, the heat building and building in my nuts. That's nice. I groaned as the stiff hairs rubbed along the crown of my dick. Makes me want to fuck you, Boggy. That would be wonderful, Lord Leo. She purred. Fuck her ass. Moaned Maya. Sodomize her. Yes. The Rakshasa's tail stroked faster up and down my cock. I grinned and took a step forward. I fell to my knees, my cock sliding out of the tail's fury grasp. I shuddered, loving hat caress. I grabbed my cock and aimed it at her butt cheeks. I parted them and smiled at the puckered hole just waiting to be filled. Her tail swished, playfully caressing over my chest. I pushed my cock against her asshole. Her tail stiffened for a moment, her purrs growing louder. Then her tail slid back and forth across my chest faster. I groaned at the massaging touch as her sphincter surrendered to my cock. I popped into her bowels and groaned as I sank deeper and deeper into her flesh. It was an incredible delight to enjoy. I shuddered as inch after inch of my dick vanished into her anal sheath. It was an incredible treat. My back arched as I bottomed out in her. My dick throbbed in her bowels. The tip of her bushy tail tickled the bottom of my chin and the hollow of my throat. Tiger ears twitched as she feasted on my Undine. It was such a gorgeous sight. I grinned and drew back my hips. She clutched her asshole around my cock, massaging me. I loved that wonderful, massaging pressure of my monster girl's loving flesh. I slammed back into Boggy's asshole. She growled into Maya's cunt. I pumped away at my Rakshasa's asshole while watching my Undine squirm about on the ground. My best friend's face twisted and rippled with her pleasure. Waves of delight washed along her azure flesh, her round boobs undulating. She bucked and gasped, savoring that rough tongue licking all my cum out of her twat. It was incredible. Damn, Boggy, enjoy that cunt! I groaned. Oh, she is! Moaned Maya. Just enjoying my naughty, pervy cunt. Got that tongue deep in me. Just licking out every bit of me. Good. I groaned and pumped away at Boggy's asshole. I slammed to the hilt in her, loving the way her asshole clung to my dick. It was incredible to enjoy. It was fantastic. I loved every thrust. Every plunge. It was incredible to enjoy. A big grin split my lips as I fucked away at her. I pounded her. I slammed my cock to the hilt in her and loved how she moaned. How she groaned. I thrust with hard strokes. Powerful plunges. This was a heady rush to bugger her hard. Her tail slashed across my chest. I savored the ticklish feeling as I buggered my Rakshasa. I savored every stroke into her asshole. Her flesh gripped me, swelling that ache at the tip of my cock. It was fantastic. The monster girls were shifting partners. Nose was sitting on Damhanala's shoulders, grinding her cunt to the Arachne's hungry mouth. Her legs shifted, clicking on the tiles. Before her, Gila, GWYLLT, Cisco, and CI were in a daisy chain, the sisters all feasting on one another's cunt in a circle of incestuous bliss. The last two wildhounds, Dew and Marwo, were tripping their cunts together, their small breasts jiggling and doggy ears twitching. Yes, 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 rub that cunt on me.
moaned Dew as she humped into her sister's snatch. It was such a hot delight to witness. I loved it as I buggered Baggy. I plunged hard into her asshole while she devoured Maya's cunt. All my cum had to be licked out of my best friend by now, leaving Baggy just to enjoy all of Maya's sweet delight. My hands slid up Baggy's body to find her round breasts. I squeezed those lush mounds as I fucked to the hilt in the Rakshasa's asshole. I slammed into her bowels again and again. I loved the way she gripped me. Held me. I savored that naughty delight about my cock. It was intense. Delicious. I groaned, my cock throbbing and aching as I fucked her hard and fast. I pounded her bowels. I reamed out her ass. I grunted and groaned, my balls smacking into her hot flesh. Her asshole clung to me. Massaged me.
Yes, yes, yes.
I moaned, squeezing her tits.
That's good. That is fucking good. It is.
Baggy purred, her tail swishing back and forth across my chest. I loved the teasing feel.
I'm going to come on your dick, Lord Leo. Yes, yes, come on his cock.
Gasped Maya.
And keep licking my pussy and...
A big wave washed through her azure flesh. Every bit of her rippled, even her nipples.
That's good. Yes, yes, you're going to make me come. Make her come.
I growled, plowing into my Rakshasa's asshole. I slammed into her bowels with such force. I hit her hard and fast. I plowed to the hilt in her again and again. Her flesh squeezed about me, massaging me.
Then come yourself. Yes, Lord Leo.
Purred the Rakshasa. The rumbling sound of feline passion rose from Baggy's throat. Her bowels clenched down around me while Maya shuddered. She humped against the monster girl, tits waving and bouncing. Her face contorted. Then she squealed in delight. I knew that she was coming. The pleasure swept through her body. It was so obvious that she was gasping and moaning. It was an incredible sight to witness. I groaned, loving every second of watching her writhing through her bliss.
Oh, Baggy, yes!
Maya moaned.
I'm so good.
Growled the Rakshasa, her asshole clenching on my dick. I slammed to the hilt in her asshole. Baggy yowled and her tail stiffened. Then the end twitched while her bowels writhed around my cock. I groaned as I drew back through the convulsing heaven of her anal sheath.
That's it, Baggy.
I growled and slammed to the hilt in her asshole.
That's your reward. You were amazing today.
She was. Squealed Maya. I erupted in my monster girl's bowels. The Rakshasa's tail caressed my chest as her asshole milked my cock. I groaned, bucking through my pleasure. The ecstasy swept over me. I groaned, my heart pounding in my chest as I pumped load after load of cum into her bowels.
Fuck yes.
I growled, my cum spurting again and again into her asshole. Her flesh milked my cock in that exciting way. I groaned through the bliss, spurting again and again into her bowels. The pleasure slammed into my mind. It was exquisite. Amazing. Stars exploded across my vision. They twinkled as I hit the peak of my ecstasy. I squeezed Baggy's breasts as I hit the peak of my pleasure. I unloaded the last of my cum into my naughty Rakshasa's asshole. I groaned and swayed there, my heart pounding in my chest.
Damn, that was good.
I groaned.
Baggy, you are wonderful.
Exquisite.
You are.
Cooed Maya.
Lord Leo.
Yipped Hila. My first wild hound threw herself at me. I gasped as she knocked me on my back with her enthusiasm. She licked at my face, her tongue bathing me. Then her lips, coated in her sister's spicy pussy cream, met mine. She kissed me with hunger while I heard the moans and barks of the others. They needed to be loved, too. Chapter 29. 2 days later, Kerr's warning came.
Master, they have gathered all their monster girls in the courtyard.
Announced Kerr. The dwarven rebellion had not lasted long. The twins had quickly pacified them. The trusted dwarven overseers were even more brutal in their reprisal. Every dwarf caught with a weapon was petrified. At least once I killed Xiamili, I could restore them to life. I could make right what had happened to these dwarfs. It was important to focus on the good that I was doing, not just the selfish desire to kill the man who had, ultimately, hurt Halia.
The twins are in the middle, continued Kerr. They're holding a scroll. Like the one I used to ask Fujin to meet?
I asked.
I guess.
There.
Kerr trailed off. They all just vanished. There was a pop and a rush of air, and they were just gone. I'm killing myself.
I rushed to the void crystal. The plan was ready. We were prepared for the twins' assault. I had readied the perfect room in the dungeon. I grabbed the stone and felt Kerr already slumbering in there. I would have to reward her once we survived the day. I awakened her, and then I moved all the monster girls into position. I was the only one I couldn't move around the dungeon. I had to rush through my entire dungeon to get into position. I swallowed, hoping the room we made would be enough. Before I made it to the elevator, the alarm blared. Intruders in the dungeon. The elevator whisked me down to the main floor of the dungeon. I burst off the magical lift and rushed to the throne room. I burst out to see them streamline for the assault to come. Red dots poured through the initial labyrinth. Full of pit traps and lightning blasts, it would just slow them down. I didn't expect to do much good. I abandoned the map, my robe flapping behind me. I crossed the room and ran down the hallway to the guard room where Pani Ibagi and Yusuku were normally stationed. It was empty. I turned to the right and headed for the battle room. I had prepared it especially for this moment. I had readied it for the enemy to walk in and be assaulted by my monster girls from all sides. They were all in position. Ready to attack and destroy the twins and their army. The hallway led to a balcony. Only two people were waiting for me here, my mother and my little sister. Garnet whirled to face me and had an excited grin on her face. She was naked save for her thigh-high boots. Her small tits quivered. Her demon tail swished behind her with her excitement. Her black pigtails swayed. My mother was even more naked, not even having the boots. Her large, wood-brown breasts swayed, milk beating at her nipples.
Excited?
I asked her, shocked by the milk.
Yeah.
She said and then picked up my breastplate. I held out my arms and my two monster girls strapped me in. They both worked with care, mom smiling and my little sister grinning. They strapped the silver armor on tight and then stepped back from me.
Quay, heh heh.
Garnet laughed as she stared at me.
You're going to be amazing today. This is it. This is the moment we've been waiting for.
They're going to pay.
Yeah.
I said and stared out at the empty room. It was as long as a football field and completely empty. A single door entered it at the far end, a group of green vines growing above it. Not a single one of my monster girls could be seen. I took my spear from my mother and stared at the door at the far end. I didn't know how far along the twins were, but I could feel them coming closer and closer.
This is it, big bro,
Garnet declared. She jumped up onto the railing of the balcony and looked out at the long, rectangular room.
Quay, heh heh, this is where we kick their evil butts. We're going to win. Going to kick some ass.
I wished I had her confidence. But I had to fake it. I had to show all my monster girls that I was the leader. That I was in charge. I rolled my shoulders and stepped up beside her. My spear's tip crackled with lightning. I gazed out at the room and then at the door. They were moving through the traps. They probably were disabling them, but, hopefully, they'd lose monster girls. They had to be afraid of an ambush, wondering why all my monster girls weren't in the labyrinth. They would be confused by that. It shouldn't make any sense to them. I rolled my shoulders and stood between my little sister and mother. She was calm, her face serene, surrounded by her leafy green hair. She had a beatific smile on her face. I drew strength from that.
Come on,
I muttered.
Show your ugly faces. Fucking sons of bitches.
The anger for Halia swelled in me. That need for vengeance swelled in me even stronger than the hatred I'd felt for Jindag. That cocksucker made me mad for taking those village girls to rape and breed them. This was a personal anger. I loved Halia, and she stood as a statue, imprisoned in stone. I didn't know if she dreamed or was in pain or I took calming breaths. I had to be in control here. The twins were coming. A boom echoed around the room. I stared at the door. They were outside. The door shook again. The vines above curled. Restless. Ready to strike. One more blow to the doors and they burst open. The enemy monster girls and their leaders flooded in. It was a mix of green-skinned orcs in their metal armor, prancing unicorns with their deadly horns, blue-scaled basilisks with their foul breath, and icy Yukiana with their glacial touch. And in the midst of them strode the twins. I stood on the balcony and stared at them. For a moment, time froze as I drank them in. They were so different from each other. One was a tall and slender man with frosty blue hair. He held an icy axe in his hand and only pants, his chest bare and hairy as a bear. The other was wearing armor. A full set of metal plate. Breastplate, shoulder pads, and protection for his legs. Only his hairy arms were left bare and his face. His skin wasn't the pale beige of a Caucasian like me or his brother. They were gray. Not uniform, but streaks of various hues. He looked made of stone and had no weapons in his hands, just fists. He had magic active on him. Earth magic.
Just you and two of your sluts?
Snarled the slender twin. That was lead. He lifted his axe and pointed at me.
You have balls, I will.
The vines above the door struck. The slithering tendrils of green shot down and began wrapping around the flood of monster girls pouring into the room. They were fast and efficient. I couldn't help but smirk as they thrust into the midst and wrapped about the torsos of orcs and unicorns, Yukiana and basilisks. The level 2 monster girls twisted and snarled, but arms were seized. Limbs restrained. The orcs slashed swords and the basilisks clawed at their bonds. Xiamili ripped his arm free of the mess and pushed his brother forward out of the trap while the monster girls behind them snarled and hissed. The red cap, her big breasts heaving, ducked beneath. A sword flashed in the red cap's hand. A shiny blade of silver that she hacked before her, carving through the vines and bursting to safety. The vines yanked monster girls seized up into the air. Unicorns whinnied, their hoof legs kicking. Frost spilled from the Yukiana. Basilisks spewed their noxious breath over the vines, but the petrification did nothing. They were magical traps, not real living creatures. The orcs cursed, struggling to swing weapons. In all, 2 unicorns, 3 orcs, 3 basilisks, and 4 Yukiana were captured.
Cocksucker!
Xiamili yelled. He stood clear of the vines by his brother, their monster girls around them out of reach of the vines.
Is that all you do? Attack us with traps.
He went to charge, but his brother caught his stony wrist and held him back. Xiamili glared at Led while my sister burst into mocking laughter.
Her. Quay, heh heh,
echoed through the room, her wings rustling. Xiamili jerked to break free of his brother's grip.
Smyrta, cut them down,
Led growled.
Lord,
the Valkyrie said. She was the ice companion. A blonde and busted woman, athletic and deadly. Her skin was white as snow. Ice spread on the ground where she stood. She whirled, a blade of crystalline frost in hand, and rushed to cut those caught free. Vines surged at her, but her blade was a blur of death.
What do you wish us to do?
Said a fairy who fluttered in the air above the others. She must be the light companion. She had pink and purple butterfly wings that thrust out from her back. She giggled,
a wand of wood in her hand that motes of light sparked from. She looked like a kindred spirit to Garnet.
We kill him! Xiamili snarled.
Wait! Growled Led. Look at this room.
Wait!
I shouted in disgust, realizing I couldn't let them plan.
I'm waiting for you. Been waiting for you. I've been thinking about this. Just dreaming of it. I'm going to fuck all your monster girls. I can't wait for your Gorgon's hot mouth to be sliding down my dick.
The Gorgon stood near Xiamili, the snakes for hairs writhing around her head. They all hissed at me in fury.
And that red cap hottie, I bet she's going to love giving me a titty fuck.
The red cap, naked save for her namesake, glared at me. Her cap had a white rim to it. The red was a dye. No, it had a gleam to it. Fresh blood. Maya had recognized her as a monster from Irish mythology. A fairy of the battlefields who dipped her cap in the blood of those slain by violence. The metal companion.
Yeah, she's going to love pleasing my dick. They're going to be our sluts.
Garnet shouted. She turned around and smacked her ass at the enemy.
Quay he he.
Xiamili shouted something in Russian, fury on his granite face. Then he charged out into the room. The basilisks and orcs surged out after him, the red cap and Gorgon on his heels. Led cursed and waved his arm. The unicorns and Yukiana surged into the attack. The fairy giggled and soared out over the room. The monster girls crossed the field. I stood unconcerned, waiting for the right moment. There were two levers I had here. Easy to flip. They set off specialized.
Traps.
My heart beat faster and faster as the horde of monster girls rushed across the battlefield, spreading out across the room. Though the unicorns had gotten a late start, they were catching up with the orcs and basilisks, racing fast. They were all staring at me on my balcony.
No.
My mother suggested. They were all spread out across the room. I flipped the first switch point, four square sections of the floor opened. Monster girls screamed as they dropped not into vast pits, which would have taken too much magical energy to build a pit trap that immense, but into the water. The water swarming with my mermaids, my oozes, my hippocampus, and Maya. The red cap gasped as she plunged in with six orcs, five unicorns, four basilisks, and six Yukiana. The Gorgon almost was lost but threw herself off of it. Xiamili stumbled to a halt and looked at the sections that had reduced his attacking force. Led, at the back, shook his head in frustration. Then I flipped the second switch. Along the length of the room, walls fell outward to reveal hidden chambers where my monster girls were all waiting. Yusuku, Pani, and the Wildhounds on one side. Bagi, the Satyrs, and the Werebears to the south. They charged with roars of fury. From new balconies revealed, the Will-O-Wisp stepped into sight with Lana on one. Their lightning instantly fired down at the enemy monster girls not caught in the pit traps. The Quetzalcoatl soared out of holes in the ceiling, their rainbow-feathered wings spread wide. Lightning crackled along their teeth. They swept down and breathed their own death. From silk strands, the Arachne descended from the same holes to attack the enemy. My monster girls fell on theirs. Hela jumped on an orc. Two of my Satyrs slammed into another orc. Bala the Werebear charged at a unicorn. Du and Nose pounced on another unicorn. Srega the Arachne fell on a basilisk. Her spidery legs were wrapping around her. Damhanala descended on another Yukiana while the Gorgon's snake hairs hissed as Pani spat a volley of green acid at her. The Gorgon dodged. In the air, the fairy fluttered and danced as two of my Quetzalcoatl, Jivate and Sparnas, spat lightning at her. Light burst from the fairy's wand. Yusuku and Bagi launched themselves at Xiamili. Shadow swords blocked by granite arms. Then his fist punched my Rakshasa hard in the head, throwing her to the side. Chaos erupted beneath. It was impossible to follow. I began casting my spells while Led. Led still stood by the entrance, his Valkyrie busy hacking free the captured monster girls. I drew in a deep breath. The battle was on. This was it. All our forces versus theirs. Was it a mistake not to replace my low-level monster girls? No, I wouldn't believe that. My Will-O-Wisps, Satyrs, Wildhounds, Oozes, and Mermaids would not let me down.
Chapter 30.
The thick night falls, let the enmity of Lord Zuin smother.
Night's mother fell on a basilisk. The dark coated her, hiding her from sight and disorienting her. It was chaos. I had to be careful. There was so much craziness going on. If I threw out spells without any care, I would hurt my own women. I spotted a Yukiana open.
Spark of lightning, crackle of electricity, let the wrath of Lord Enlil explode.
The bolt of lightning slashed down and struck her. She screamed and pitched forward, hitting the ground and then vanishing in a moat of darkness. Will-O-Wisps fired their attacks down at the enemy. Pandemonium reigned. My monster girls were attacking. Slashing. Biting. Clawing. They were fighting for their lives. Fighting for me.
Yeah, get him!
Garnet cheered.
Come on, Bagi! Yusuka! Kick his ass!
Those two were fighting Xiamili. He was blocking Yusuka's shadowy sword strikes with his bare arms. That stone flesh he had was powerful. He hardly needed that armor he wore. Bagi's claws rake uselessly down his back. But they were pressuring him. Keeping him from using spells. I searched for my next target. I had to use my magic to eliminate the enemy. Enemy monster girls were vanishing. But so were mine. Would it be enough? Would my plan work? Or had I kicked over the beehive, and we were about to be swarmed to death? Lana Fullman and the Will-O-Wisp's opening volley had been effective. She had personally killed a basilisk. The Will-O-Wisps had fried another basilisk, an unicorn, and an orc. The enemy was being whittled away.
but there were still so many of them out there. The movie starlet looked for another open target. Werebears, arachnids, wild hounds, oozes, satyrs, and quetzalcoatls all fought down there. The chaos was frightening. She didn't want to hit a wild hound by accident. Didn't want to fry a werebear by mistake. Her heart pounded a mile a minute, but she had to keep her cool. "Pick your targets," she shouted as she stared at the melee. A flash of movement to her immediate left turned her attention to Dvasia. The will-o-wisp had her attention to the battlefield, so she didn't see the block of ice that had appeared over her head. It slammed down into her body. The force caved her plasmic head into her shoulders and drove her body to the floor. She hit hard and her body shuddered. Then she vanished in a burst of motes, dead and sent back to the void crystal to sleep. Lana's stomach tightened at the sudden death. A group of monster girls had broken free of the others and rushed up to the balcony where I stood with Garnet and my mother. A pair of unicorns, a basilisk, and a Yukiana were intent on climbing the walls to reach me. I ignored them. We were high up. I wanted to kill the monster girls who were hurting my girls. My lovers. I felt see I die. I spotted her fading away, an orc over her. Hela jumped onto that orc, the wild hound clawing to avenge her slain sister. Not far away, another orc threw a sword up and slammed into Vavery. The Quetzalcoatl screamed in pain, her serpentine half swishing. Her wings faltered. She plummeted for the ground, vanishing into motes a moment later. A unicorn gored Dew, slamming hard into the wildhound's back, and kept running. The dying wildhound spasmed, impaled on the horn, and then vanished into motes. Srega bit into her basilisk, the arachne holding the scaled bitch tight. The basilisk fell to the ground, body spasming. However, another basilisk threw Srega to the ground. The spider girl's legs kicked as the basilisk slammed a foot down and crushed her throat. "Fuck," I muttered, hating my monster girls dying. I stared at the basilisk open. No one around. Spark of lightning, crackle of electricity. Suddenly, the two unicorns who had charged the balcony leaped up the 15 feet and landed amid my mother, Garnet, and me. The shock interrupted my spell. I hadn't realized they could do that. Their horns lowered and they lunged, one at me and one at Garnet. Maya surged through the water, the oozes, mermaids, and the one hippocampus swimming with her. The enemy monster girls were kicking in a froth of bubbles, trying to swim to the surface. But they were in Maya's element. She went for the red cap, the naked monster girl kicking, releasing her sword that became blood that diffused crimson through the water. The orcs were thrashing, their armor carrying them down towards the bottom of the pool. Basilisks opened their mouths to breathe their petrification breath. Nothing came out. The red cap turned in the water, and then fresh blood flashed. A trident formed out of the scarlet, tines gleaming in the light. She locked eyes on Maya as the undine swam closer. The weapon stabbed out at Maya. She surged around it, flowing with ease through the water. She laughed in delight, the red cap moving so slow. She seized the red cap. Maya held the enemy with her arms and legs. She clapped a hand over the red cap's mouth and forced her fingers into the red cap's mouth to drown her faster. She thrashed in Maya's arms, legs kicking in a panic. The mermaids went for the unicorns. Maze, Skila, and Pani each surged for one and grabbed the kicking unicorns by the waist. The mermaid's powerful tails swished and dragged the enemy monster girls deeper into the pools. The Yukiana who had fallen in began freezing the water around them, forming barriers to protect themselves. They made Maya shiver. She remembered the pain they had caused her. The torment they could inflict. Goda, the hippocampus, shot like a torpedo at one barrier of ice and slammed into it. The crystal shattered around her. With another flex of her seahorse tail, she hurtled into the Yukiana and propelled the monster girl to the water's depths. The red cap thrashed. Her trident tried to find Maya's flesh. But she was water. Liquid. She could ripple and undulate and avoid those steel tines. The oozes struck the basilisks. Sikala and her sisters engulfed the basilisks in their gelatinous bodies, weighing them down and keeping them from kicking to the surface. It was brutal. Maya knew they weren't just killing these monster girls. They were drowning them. It was a terrible way to die, but they had no choice. They had to eliminate them or Leo and the others would have more to fight. So Maya kept her hold on the red cap. She would make sure that as many monster girls drowned as possible. The more enemies eliminated, the better chance her family had to survive today. Mrs. Zoe Baldwin acted the moment the unicorns landed. The nearest unicorn to the dryad lowered her horn and rammed it at Leo's guts. The spell he had been casting faltered. He stepped back, struggling to bring his weapon down to block, but it would be too late for him. However, Mrs. Baldwin was ready for the attack. She had been prepared for this eventuality. She surged out her vines from her toes the moment she saw them jump. Now they reached for the unicorn and wrapped around her legs and torso, yanking her back. The horn came an inch from slamming into her son's breastplate. Garnet wasn't so lucky. She screamed in pain. The other unicorn's horn had been buried deep into the succubus's guts. Her wings fluttered. Her head tossed in pain. Mrs. Baldwin stared in horror at her daughter who was badly injured. Leo screamed out something that was lost to the shock that fell on Mrs. Baldwin. She had only protected one of her children. The unicorn horn jerked to a stop before ramming into me. The vines wrapped around her body yanked her to the balcony. My heart raced. The sudden leap had me spinning in shock. I had ignored those monster girls. And now. "Big bro!" moaned my little sister. The unicorn ripped her horn out of Garnet's guts. She staggered back, a large hole punched through her flesh. She stumbled into the wall and leaned there as the unicorn lunged to finish her off. Mom let out a sob of pain.
Sparks zap and crackle, let the strength of Lord and Lil sizzle. Sparks burst from my hands and slammed into the unicorn. The electric force burst across her skin. Her entire body shook from the intermediate lightning spell. She slumped over the railing, her horsetail swishing over her naked rump, then she melted away. Gone. Killed, Garnet slumped down the wall, leaving a bloody smear behind. Mom wrestled with the other unicorn who fought to break the woody vines wrapped around her body. I ignored the bitch and rushed to my dying little sister. Big bro. She breathed, her eyes falling on mine. I don't mind dying for you. I love you and, idiot, I'm not letting you die. I grabbed her hand. What? She gasped, blood on her lips. I'm wasting my dying speech and you're not letting me die. I shook my head and chanted. Graven wounds pulse in pain, let the healing of Lord Dumazid flow. The intermediate life spell flowed into her body. The wound to her guts closed up, leaving not even a scar behind. Only her blood. She stared down at the hole and then her cheeks puffed out in annoyance. You really should warn a girl before she goes and makes a dying speech of love. She said. That's so rude, big bro. I know. I said, grinning at her. For a moment, all the death fell away, then I heard the unicorn hissing. The sounds of violence echoed from below. I rose and turned to deal with the unicorn only to see a Yukiana and a basilisk climbing over the railing. Frost spread from the icy monster girl's touch while the basilisk opened her mouth, sharp, lizard-like teeth dripping with venom. Their breath didn't work on me, but would their poison? A block of ice slammed down on Zybus, killing another of the will-o'-wisps. Lana Fullman knew Lead was responsible. The smarter brother stood back and was casting spells while his twin fought with Yusuku and Bagi below. Lana gathered her lightning to attack when a shout drew her attention to the left. Monster girls were assaulting the balcony Leo was on. A unicorn thrashed in vines. A Yukiana and a basilisk were climbing over the railing. Fear for her number one fan galvanized the lightning sprite, her wings thrust wide. Electricity crackled between the plasma wing bones that formed their shape. She aimed it and fired. Crackling death hurtled across the battlefield and struck the basilisk about to pounce on her love. She collapsed on the railing instead and vanished in motes of light. Lana smiled. Before her, a frozen axe flashed into being and hurtled at her like it had been thrown by an invisible, floating person. The edge gleamed sharp. The basilisk vanished into glittering motes. I focused on the Yukiana. She leaped over the railing and touched the tendrils holding the unicorn bound up. My dried mother gasped in pain, the ice attacking her hold on the unicorn. I rose to my height. Waves slammed into the shore, let the strength of Lord Enki hammer. I chanted. A maze of water formed in the air and slammed into the Yukiana's face. It struck her hard like it was made of stone. Her head cracked back. She tumbled over the railing and slammed to the ground below. Bitch! Mom cursed and then her tendrils squeezed about the unicorn she held. The monster girl screamed as the vines crushed her. Ribs popped. Cracked. Then she spasmed and collapsed on the ground. I swallowed at the pain on the unicorn's poor face. I pushed it away and marched over her as she vanished into motes of light. I didn't want to cause the enemy monster girl's pain, but their masters had sent them into harm's way. I grabbed the railing, looking for new targets to kill. Bala the werebear ripped apart a unicorn while Panja, in her bear form like the other werebears, roared in pain. Ice formed over her fur, crystallizing about her as a Yukiana unleashed her power. I growled and drew in my will to throw out more death. The red cap abandoned trying to stab Maya with the trident. Instead, she kicked. No, you don't. Maya shouted into the water as the red cap swam for the surface. She wasn't the only one. A unicorn, basilisk, and five of the Yukiana, the most deadly to water monster girls, broke the surface and breathed in the fresh air. They were still stuck in the water, but they were not drowning. The Yukiana gathered together as Maya fought against the red cap's strength. The enemy monster girl was strong. The red cap kicked her legs with desperation, her will to live strong. She wanted to reach the surface. Maya wouldn't let her. The five Yukiana linked arms and then dove back beneath the water. They were floating above Maya, their frost blue hair billowing around them. The temperature in the warm water plummeted. Ice crystals formed around them. Feathery branches of freezing water extended out in all directions from them, the cold reaching to Maya. Terror rippled through the Undine at the memory of being frozen before. The growing branches of ice crystals reached towards her. She kicked with her legs, fighting against the red cap swimming for the surface. No! Maya shouted, the cold chilling her liquid flesh. Lana Fullman's instinct screamed at her. Between fighting in this world for her number one fan and the months of training she had undergone to perform stunts and hand-to-hand combat while playing Jane Dangerous had taught her body how to react without thinking under stress. She threw herself to the ground. The axe slammed into the wall behind her and shattered. Shards of ice peppered her flesh, but they didn't mar the perfection of her silvery skin. Her golden hair alive with static electricity, she rose with fury in her heart. She focused now on Lead. Leo was protected, so it was time to take the bastard out who was killing her will-o'-wisps. She threw her wings wide. Lightning arced across the battlefield at Lead. He dove out of the way and rose, his blue hair not even ruffled. He had that attitude many male models had. Men who thought they were gorgeous and hunky. She could feel the ego pouring off of him. He didn't like missing and then being attacked. I have more for you. Lana Fullman shouted. The movie starlet had no idea if he heard her. More electricity crackled through her wings, the charge building to discharge an attack. Blinding lights burst before the lightning sprite.
She gasped at the strobing effect. It stabbed pain into her eyes. Lana Fullman stumbled back, her wings flapping. The attack vanished, leaving her feeling dizzy. She shook her head. The urge to discharge swelled through her, but she couldn't see well. She blinked, blue blurs left smeared across her vision. They cleared up enough for her to gaze out at the battlefield. She looked to the far end where Led had stood. He wasn't there. She looked around, searching for any sign of the bastard. She had only been blinded a few seconds. Surely he couldn't have vanished in that amount of time. Unless he'd retreated through the doors where his Valkyrie was freeing the last of the monster girls trapped by the vines. She scanned the battlefield, spotting the two satyrs, Havis and Kerr, goring a unicorn and killing her. The number of combatants had shrunk. Casualties on both sides were mounting up. Lana cursed. Where did that bastard go? Fear twisted her guts. He had light magic. What could he do with it? I gazed out at the battlefield. It was not going well. Many of my monster girls were dead. So were the enemies, but the balance seemed to be shifting into the twins' favor. I swallowed and sought out one of those pricks. Lights burst by Lana Fullman's position, driving her back. I spotted Led, who vanished. Crap. I muttered. A rippling mirage had devoured him. I couldn't see him at all. Invisibility? What, big bro? Garnet asked. Never mind. My gaze swept along the battlefield looking for Xiaomili. He still fought with Yusuku and Bagi in the middle. She swung her sword at him, but a shield of metal sprang up in the air before her. The weapon clanged off of it. He jumped back and then turned as Bagi rushed into attack. His fist struck her in the head hard. It threw her to the ground. He aimed his hand at her, his lips moving with a spell, but I was already casting my own spell. Spark of lightning, crackle of electricity, let the wrath of Lord and Lil explode. The bolt of lightning leaped out of my hand and hurtled across the battlefield at Xiaomili. He finished his spell and a spike of rock fired from him and ran through Bagi's heart as the Rakshasa struggled to stand. Her tiger head threw back and roared in pain. Then she died. Xiaomili threw himself to the ground a heartbeat later. My spell struck the ground behind him. I grimaced. Fuck! The Valkyrie charged to the fight, leading the monster girls she had freed. Reinforcements. This was going badly. The cute and adorable little succubus watched her big brother, waiting for him to give commands. He cursed and then pointed out at the battlefield. Mom, Garnet, we're going down there. I have a weapon. I can do more good down there. You got it, big bro! Garnet exclaimed, excitement rippling through her. Her red, bat-like wings spread wide and her cute tail swished back and forth behind her. Quay, he he, they will kneel before my adorableness. Leo vaulted over the side, his gray robes flapping. Garnet's mother followed. Grinning, Garnet leaped off, her wings letting her spiral down the 15 feet to land beside her big brother. The surviving will-o-wisps fired lightning at the reinforcements. Enemy monster girls died. Garnet grinned. Leo charged out into the battlefield. Garnet followed, conjuring a whip of shadows from her hand, eager to lash some naughty, naughty monster girls. What a fun day this has been. I got to do a death speech and now I get to whip girls. Lightning fired from Lana's wings. She discharged her power and struck a Yukiana racing at the Valkyrie's side. The monster girl collapsed to the ground in a burst of frosty air and dissipated into motes. Lana nodded and then turned her gaze back to finding Led. She would kill that bastard for her master, avenging Dvasia and Zybas in the process. Her eyes scanned the battlefield. He had to be somewhere. He couldn't be a coward and flee. They had to end this today. Then she groaned as she spotted her number one fan rushing into the battle. Leo. What are you doing? I charged forward. The Valkyrie had reached the main fight. She had a deadly look about her. She went to attack Balu, my werebear. I couldn't let that stand. Hey, frosty bitch! I snarled. You skank-ass Valkyrie! She whirled to face me, her icy sword held low. Skank? She demanded. You peasant. Do you know who I was? Some two-bit slut that Led had a hard-on for. I growled, sliding to a stop facing her. 10 feet separated us. She snarled and charged at me. I parried her attack with my spear. She was fast, darting to the right to get around my attack, her crystalline blade bleeding fog. It spilled down around her hand while her blonde hair whipped behind her. She got around my spear and lunged in to cut me down. Ocean's fury crashes into the beach, let the passion of Lord Enki flow. I chanted. A splash of water swept from me and flowed across the ground. It struck her and knocked her down on her ass. She hissed in frustration, the liquid freezing on her body and icy armor. She kicked up to her feet like she was in a kung fu movie and again launched slashing attacks at me. Mrs. Zoe Baldwin looked for who needed her help. Aidas, one of the Quetzalcoatl, had her snake tail wrapped around a basilisk, crushing the enemy monster girl. Behind Aidas, a Yukiana rushed to the aid of the dying basilisk. The Quetzalcoatl had no idea it was coming. Mrs. Baldwin acted. The dryad sent her tendrils rushing at the Yukiana. The motherly woman didn't want to crush another monster girl, but her family was in danger. Aidas wasn't one of her biological children, but that didn't matter. She was a surrogate child. Adopted. Mrs. Baldwin loved them all. Her roots surged towards the Yukiana when something flashed down from above. The fairy darted before Mrs. Baldwin, butterfly wings fluttering. With a giggle and swish of her wand, a bright burst of light exploded. The dazzling brilliance struck Mrs. Baldwin's eyes. The motherly dryad screamed and stumbled back, her eyes burning.
Garnet's conjured whip smacked into a Yukiana.
Naughty, naughty girl.
The succubus chortled.
You've been so bad.
Quay, he, he. The Yukiana turned, her blue hair sweeping behind her. Frost spilled down her body. She held out her hands, icy winter gathering between them like she powered up to unleash some sort of attack. Garnet grinned and flapped her wings, dodging to the right as a chunk of glittering ice fired from the Yukiana's hands.
Miss me.
Garnet taunted and slashed her whip again, striking the Yukiana in the belly. A red welt rose across the white skin. Blue eyes glared at Garnet. More ice hurtled at the succubus. She danced around the deadly attack, tail swishing behind her. Mocking laughter burst from her throat as she whipped the Yukiana across the tits this time. The succubus savored her graceful dodges. She was the masochistic heroine of the story. Like Tira from Sorcerer Hunters.
Bad, bad Yukiana,
she admonished.
I'll have to whip you in two.
The block of ice hurtled at Garnet, catching her off guard in the middle of her fantasy. Chapter 31. I blocked the Valkyrie's slashing attacks with my spear. Three blows that rang out against the metal of my weapon. She fought with ferocity, her blue eyes burning with anger. I had touched a nerve in her, and she was pissed.
How much did you charge for blowjobs?
I demanded.
You rotten bastard!
She snarled.
$5, huh? So you're a cheap whore?
She slashed in wildly. I blocked her furious strokes with ease, reading her attacks. A spell formed on my lips as our weapons crashed together.
Darkness hides and shadows conceal. Let the curse of Lord Zuin fall.
Inky patches of darkness spilled over her eyes, blinding her. I smiled at that.
Lord Leo!
Nim cried in pain. I turned to see one of my Arachne's legs being cut off by a stroke of an orc sword. Purple ichor spurted from the stump. Then Nim lunged in and grabbed the orc's head with her hands and jerked, exposing the orc's neck. Nim bit. Her venom pumped into the orc's body. The green-skinned monster girl roared in pain, her face twisting in agony. Nim released her prey. The orc collapsed and fell on the ground, spasming, froth at her mouth. Then she melted away.
You okay?
I shouted at her.
I'm fine.
Her compound eyes fixed on me. Then she gasped.
Watch out.
The blind Valkyrie lunged in at me while I had been distracted. Her sword stabbed me in the shoulder. She hit my breastplate, the point scraping over the side with an ear-splitting screech. It hit the edge of my armor and rammed into my exposed upper arm. Icy cold speared into me. The Valkyrie cackled with mad fury. Lana Fullman scanned the room. It was a mess. Everyone was running around. Fighting. Leo reeled back, taking a wound from the Valkyrie. Worry tugged at Lana Fullman, but it was too chaotic for her to fire into the melee. She could hit someone. Where are you, Led? Rippled through her mind. She didn't think for one second that the slimy dungeon builder had fled. He was here somewhere. She just had to spot him. She winced as an orc threw Hela off her back. The wildhound's slender limbs spasmed as she struggled to stand. Before she could, the orc rammed her sword through Hela's breasts. The cute monster girl spasmed and then vanished.
Where are you?
Lana hissed. Kibber screamed to Lana's right. The will-o-wisp collapsed, crushed by another block of ice.
Let's work.
Lana didn't understand where he could be hiding. How he could still be killing her will-o-wisps. She had to find him.
Stop him. Blossom and regrow with life. Let the vitality of Lord Dimazid heal.
I growled, using the beginner tier life spell to heal myself. I didn't have unlimited mana. I was burning through my reserves. But it was enough to heal the damage. I blocked the wild attacks from the Valkyrie. She might be blind, but that didn't stop her from flourishing her sword before her as she sought to cut me down. Our weapons clanged together as I considered a plan. I smiled.
Waves slam into the shore. Let the strength of Lord Enki hammer.
The mace of water appeared and slammed at the Valkyrie. Her battle instincts were intense because she whirled and blocked the watery weapon. It struck her sword with a quivering blow. She was open to me. I rammed my spear forward. She must have heard the rustle of my robes because she turned at the last moment. Instead of burying my spear into her side, I slammed it into her belly. I thrust it deep. She gasped, her back arching. Then she convulsed as the electric current from the spear arced into her. She screamed.
Lord Led!
Her crystalline sword fell from her twitching hands and shattered on the ground. I ripped my blade from her stomach and then rammed it right into her throat. She gurgled, blind hands grabbing the haft, clutching it. Then she sagged and dissolved into motes.
Yes!
I hissed in triumph, only to see Marwolf falling to the ground, spasming, her shoulder bloody from a basilisk's bite. Venom poured through my wildhound. Her body spasmed on the ground. I felt GWYLT dying somewhere else, my monster girls dwindling fast. Garnet squeaked in fright at the icy death hurtling for her. All she could do was fall limp. She crashed on her back moments before the chunk of frozen water hurtled over her. The chill of its passage kissed her face. Her heart lurched. This was suddenly so real to her. Battle had always felt like a game to her. Like she was reliving all her favorite animes. Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball Z, Demon Slayer, ReZero, Naruto, Sorcerer Hunters, Those Who Hunt Elves, and more. Now. Now. Now she had almost died. She could be hurt. Her friends were getting hurt. Sure, they came back to life, but there was pain. When the unicorn gored her, she'd felt agony, but it let her pretend to give a dying speech, her final words of love to her big brother. But she knew she would come back. That death wasn't the end for her, not so long as Leo lived. But that didn't mean this was a game.
The enemy didn't just let her do her monologue. They didn't care that she was playing. This was life and death. She had to take this seriously. She had to stand up and defeat the Yukiana.
Yes.
She cried and pushed herself to her feet. I'll. Her words trailed off as a blast of lightning struck the Yukiana. The icy monster girl pitched forward in a flurry of frosty hair and hit the ground. Then she dissolved into light. From the balcony, Svite stood proud.
Okay. Garnet said. I'll take the next fight seriously.
She looked around and winced as Dant, one of the werebears, was gored by a unicorn. Nasty bitches. Garnet didn't like them. Not only were they light monsters, the antithesis of a dark monster like the succubus, but they liked to ram their horns into people.
Unicorns are supposed to be graceful and beautiful, she hissed. Not big meanies.
But the unicorn darted off, not caring that Garnet was offended. Still, she had the vicious satisfaction of spotting Havas and Kerr goring another unicorn, the two satyrs ramming their shorter horns into the nasty monster girl's flesh. Garnet's wings fluttered in excitement at the evil being slain. However, it was Xiamili that really caught Garnet's eye. He threw a fist at Yusuku. She blocked his blow with her sword, retreating before him. He was like a boxer, throwing haymakers left and right at the Fomorian. Time to dominate a guy, Garnet thought and charged at him, her whip at the ready. An icy axe spun through the air and slammed into Juntaras. The will-o-wisp's body of roiling, blue plasma split in half from the force of the blue. Incandescent fog spilled from her injury. She screamed as she collapsed. Then she dissolved away.
This ends.
Lana Fullman screamed. She was tired of her will-o-wisps dying. She threw herself off the balcony, her wings spread wide. They carried her over the battlefield. She would find the bastard. She would murder Led. Mrs. Zoe Baldwin fell to the ground, her eyes burning from the fairy's attack. The dryad blinked her eyes, tears spilling down her woody cheeks. Her vision blurred. She couldn't see anything clearly. But she heard Aida scream in pain as the Yukiana's sneak attack struck. The Quetzalcoatl's hissing agony tore at Mrs. Baldwin's heart. Then it cut off and the dryad knew Aida's had perished. Mrs. Baldwin had failed to protect another member of her surrogate family. Another of her children had been hurt. She screamed in fury as she staggered to her feet, blinking to clear her vision. Everything looked distorted through her watery vision. Blurred and blotchy eye in the air, a smudge of purple and pink whirled around and soared right over the dryad. The obnoxious giggling rose over the battlefield. Something sparkled and swirled. The fairy brandishing her wand. Screamed through Mrs. Baldwin's mind. A beam of white-hot light lanced down at the dryad. The Valkyrie dead, I glared at two basilisks. They had just killed my wildhounds. They were the reason that Marwo and GWYLT had died. I had felt both their deaths. Now they were staring at me, blood on their plump lips. The reptilian monster girls advanced. The thick night falls, let the enmity of Lord Zuin smother. Choking night fell on the two basilisks. A crushing darkness that would suffocate them. I turned away from their deaths, taking grim satisfaction in avenging my monster girls. I would protect as many of them as I could. The feathery tendrils of freezing water reached for Maya and touched her flesh. She screamed in pain, fighting against the swimming red cap. The crystals formed in her liquid body. They tore at her. The pain rippled through her. The five Yukiana floating above her all had vicious smiles on their lips.
Cunts!
Maya roared, the agony spreading through her as more of her body froze. She reached into the water around her. The liquid that shared her essence. She was an undine made of water. The element wholly made up her body. She had no organs. No muscles or veins. She didn't even have a brain. She was an awareness that animated the water into the form of a young girl. An awareness that could control water. Maya poured her rage into the liquid around her and sent a wave rippling through the surface. Unseen until it tore into those delicate branches of growing ice. Shards ripped for the current that rushed up at the Yuki-Ana.it struck them, but they held tight, clutching each other's hands. Their blue hair whipped around them in the current. Shards of their own ice struck their bodies, cutting them. They didn't care. They kept freezing the water. More ice spread. The red cap thrashed harder to escape Maya's grasp as the ice surged down and stuck the Undine's body again. She screamed in pain, holding tight to the monster girl as the crystalline death spread through her. The five Yukiana smiled. They know they're killing me, Maya realized, helpless to stop her body from freezing. Her one attack had failed. Her last chance to survive. Sorry, Leo. All she could do was hold onto the red cap and hope the enemy drowned first. Mrs. Zoe Baldwin dove to the ground and rolled hard, the impact bruising her flesh. The beam of light from the fairy's wand slashed across the stones where she had stood. The dryad's heart pounded, the sap flowing through her veins chilled with fear. What could she do against the fairy? Mrs. Baldwin had no ranged attacks. She had no possible way to fight against the winged fairy. She picked herself up as a fluttering, giggling monster girl winged over the battlefield. Mrs. Baldwin had to think of something. Fast. Her eyes scanned the fight. Balu, the werebear, was in a fierce battle with an orc nearby. A sword plunged into her torso. Mrs. Baldwin gasped as the orc ripped her weapon free of the werebear's furry chest. Roaring in pain, blood spilling down her black fur, she batted the orc's sword to the side. It hit the ground and slid to a stop. With a snarl, Balu fell on the orc, clawing at the enemy monster girl. But so much blood was spilling out of Balu. The orc struggled beneath, getting mauled. The werebear grew weaker and weaker. Mrs. Baldwin darted forward to help, but only got a few feet when Balu collapsed,
and then vanished. The orc lay on the ground, panting. Then she rolled up and sprinted off to help in another fight, leaving her weapon lying nearby. The fairy winged around. Mrs. Baldwin swallowed, then sent her toes growing out, her roots reaching towards the mad idea the dryad had just had. Garnet cracked her whip at Xiamili. The shadowy blur struck his armor across the chest, ringing it like a bell, and did nothing to him. He grinned at her. She wouldn't be afraid. She would be strong. She was her big bro's little sister. She would charm Xiamili and end this fight.
"Well, well, well," said Xiamili. "Look at you. Just a delectable thing, aren't you?
After I kill your builder, are you going to serve me? Quay, you do not have the skill to." His fist blurred at her in the middle of her monologue. She squeaked in indignation and flapped her wings hard. She launched into the air, his fist flying beneath her. The graceful succubus twisted, annoyance flashing through her. "You're supposed to let me finish talking before you attack," she hissed as she twisted in the air and then dropped down on his shoulders. Her thighs went around his neck, which didn't feel like flesh at all but was as hard as stone. Her hands grabbed his face, covering his eyes. "That's how this works. Fuck a bear," growled Xiamili. Nearby, Yusuku regained her feet and darted in, a shadowy sword flashing into her hand. The Fomorian would ram him through. Garnet grinned, keeping her hands covering his eyes. But Xiamili snapped his head in Yusuka's direction. Hard and unyielding, let the steel of Lord Nabu attack. He chanted that a hunk of steel burst from him and slammed into Yusuku. The impact threw the Fomorian to the ground. She hit hard, dark purple tits heaving. She coughed and wheezed, her chest crushed in. Then she vanished into motes. Garnet squeaked in indignation and dug her fingers into his eyes. "Little bitch," growled Xiamili. "I'll show you how, hey." The air whipped around her as he did a backward slam. She struck the ground between her shoulder blades a moment before he hit, his armor clattering. Air exploded from her lungs and she lost her grip on him. Her head cracked into the hard stone. Light strobed before her eyes. She groaned as her thighs slipped from his neck. Her mind ached. Lana Fullman surveyed the battlefield, still looking to find that bastard lead dot on the ground. She spotted the Gorgon fighting Pawnee. The snakes hissed around the Gorgon's face. Pawnee slithered hard. She swung her long blue tail. The Gorgon jumped over it. As Pawnee came around, the Gorgon's eyes met hers. Pawnee hissed, the stone starting to grow over her body and petrify her. Monster girls, Lana thought, couldn't be petrified. But maybe Pawnee had been exposed to the gaze too many times. It wasn't happening fast, but the stone was creeping up her scales. Green acid spat from Pawnee's mouth. The Gorgon dove to the ground, all her snakes spitting fury, dancing in a dozen directions. Pawnee's tail was too quick. Before the Gorgon could get up, she was wrapped up by the crushing tail of the Naga.
"Yes,"
Pawnee hissed, her boobs bouncing as her sinuous body wrapped around the Gorgon. She held her tight, but the Gorgon twisted. Her snake hairs lashed out and bit all over Pawnee's breasts. As the Naga crushed the Gorgon's body, a dozen of venomous attacks struck the poor Naga, leaving her torso riddled in deadly wounds.
"No!"
Lana shouted as Pawnee's mouth frothed. Her entire body convulsed as the snakes kept striking her, poisoning her. Lana banked down to help, but she was too late. Pawnee vanished into motes, slain by the Gorgon. Snarling in fury, Lana's wings arced with more electricity. The Gorgon rose and staggered. She breathed, poking at her tender ribs. Pawnee had almost killed the Gorgon. Lana Fullman would finish the bitch off. The lightning struck the Gorgon and threw her back. She hit the ground, her body smoking from damage. She wasn't dead. As Lana landed, her hair crackling with static energy, the Gorgon turned her gaze on Lana. She felt the strength of it. The power. It struck at her magical body, seeking to petrify it like a human. The attack was painful, attacking the defenses she had against it, eroding it like the current of a river undercutting a cliff. Maya clutched to the red cap as the Yukiana froze her body. She held tight, barely able to move. The pain ripped through her. "Just let me drown the bitch. Keep her from joining the fight." That's it. From the depths of the pool, the mermaids swam up. Maze, Skila, and Pawnee rushed at the Yukiana attacking Maya. The three mermaids' tails flashed as they rushed through the pool, their hair streaming behind them. Before the Yukiana could react, three were seized and yanked down into the water. The attack on Maya halted, but so much of her body was already turned to ice. She could hardly move, just clutching onto the red cap to keep her from swimming to the surface. The Yukiana, already beneath the water to attack Maya, thrashed. They would drown soon. A blast of ice struck Pawnee in the face. The green-haired mermaid went limp and drifted down only to disappear. The other two drove their Yukiana to the bottom of the pool. Then Gota the hippocampus shot into view. She slammed into the Yukiana that killed Pawnee with such force it broke her body. She died. Then Gota turned and shot up to grab another Yukiana's hair. The hippocampus swam fast, dragging the kicking monster girl behind her. It left one Yukiana to attack Maya. She kept it up, freezing more and more of her body. The red cap thrashed. "She has to be on the verge of drowning," thought Maya. "She just has to be." The red cap conjured a hammer, another weapon. It flashed in the water. They had been useless so far. Maya was water, she could flow out of the way. Only she was so frozen right now, she could barely move. The red cap swung the hammer through the water, screaming out a burst of bubbles. The hammer hit Maya's body. The ice in her shattered. She screamed in pain as she was ripped apart. Her body burst into fragmented pieces. She died.
Mrs. Zoe Baldwin snagged the orc sword with her roots. The fairy swooped down, brandishing her wand. With a mighty heave of her roots, the dryad threw the orc's weapon. The steel slashed through the air, forming a whirling blur of death, a disc of silver. The fairy gasped and dodged to the right. The sword missed her body but sheared through her butterfly wing. She screamed as she went into a tumble and crashed to the ground hard. Dust burst off her remaining wing, the powdery scales that came off butterflies. Mrs. Baldwin surged her extended roots at the fairy, who groaned and whimpered on the ground. The fairy struggled to rise, her face twisted in fury. She had her wand. The dryad hated doing this. But she had her family to protect. The roots wrapped around the fairy's head and throat. They grew into the monster girl's mouth and squeezed about her neck. More roots grabbed her wand, yanking it from her grasp. Mrs. Baldwin strangled the fairy, her heart breaking that such violence was necessary. Lana closed her eyes against the petrifying gaze. Its attack on her body stopped. Without looking, she spread her lightning wings wide. The Gorgon charged at her, snakes hissing in pain from the last attack. "If those snakes bite me," lightning burst from her wings. Sweeping chains of electricity arced out and struck the Gorgon. They blasted her body, throwing her smoking to the ground. She screamed in pain, thrashing. Her snake hairs twitched and spasmed. Then she died and vanished. Hearing the hisses cut off, Lana opened her eyes. She smiled and turned around. An ice axe slashed in at her head. She had just a moment to realize that lead had killed her before the magical attack buried deep into her chest. Lana Fullman was dead before she hit the ground, her body vanishing. She joined the many other monster girls sleeping in the void crystal. Xiamili was on Garnet before she could react. His strong hand crushed about her slender neck. He stared down at her, his stony face twisting with lust. His eyes raked her naked form. She thrashed and kicked beneath him as he choked the life out of her.
"I hope you'll serve me," he said, staring down at her body.
"You are sexy."
"Never. Never. Never,"
screamed through Garnet's thoughts as he squeezed the life from her. She clawed at his face, but she scratched at granite, not flesh. He was armored against her. Protected. Her knees slammed up into his armor, striking his breastplate. She could do nothing against him. He was too defended. The world grew black along the edges. The basilisks were dead. I looked around and groaned as Lana was struck by an ice axe. My movie starlet crashed dead to the ground. Fury beat in me. Mom strangled the fairy and Xiamili choked my little sister. Fury slammed through me. There was the bastard I had to kill. The monster whose minions had petrified Halia. Robbed her light and beauty from the world. My left hand balled into a fist, my right gripping my spear. I glared at him, choking my little sister to death.
"Water's crushing weights around, feel the grasp of Lord Enki squeeze," spat from my lips.
Chapter 32. The water seized Xiamili. A mighty fist of liquid fury that ripped him off my sister. He tumbled through the liquid, held in its crushing grip. I marched on him, glaring at him as Garnet coughed and whimpered on the ground, rubbing her throat. She stared at me, flashing me such a look of joy. The tails of my robe swirled about my feet as I advanced, watching Xiamili thrash in the water. It squeezed about him, bringing him closer and closer to death. He twisted in it and kicked with his legs hard. So hard he burst out of the spell. I gasped as he hit the ground before the water, dripping wet. Shock struck me. How had he escaped the spell's power? Just how strong was he? Before I could react, his head shot up. From the ground below, "Let the spikes of Lord Abzu erupt." A spike of rock shot at me. Coughing, Garnet sat up only to see her big brother throw himself to the ground. A spike of rock flew over his head. That big mean Xiamili had cast it. The armored bastard was gaining his feet. She had to help her big brother. Wings flapping, Garnet launched her slender frame at Xiamili. His fist flew out and stuck her in the chest. She gasped, thrown back hard into the ground. She hit there, coughing again. Her entire body ached. She wanted to curl up in a ball. Fighting wasn't fun. It wasn't like an anime. But her big brother needed her. She had to find the strength to stand and fight. She loved her big brother. She would never let him down. I rolled to my feet and glanced up to see Xiamili's mouth opening.
"Darkness hides and shadows conceal, let dash."
A bar of steel shot from Xiamili before I could finish my spell. I threw myself to the ground, hitting on my belly. The bar hurtled over my head and struck the wall behind me with a loud clang. I pushed myself up only to see the bastard before me. His fist slammed into my face. The fairy vanished into motes of light. Mrs. Zoe Baldwin shuddered. She hated killing. It tore at her motherly heart. She wanted to weep. The sound of water dripping behind her caught her attention. She turned to see the red cap crawling out of one of the pits that had opened up in the ground to drop them into the water. Mad rage gleamed in the monster girl's eyes. She charged at Mrs. Baldwin, holding a silvery hammer. The dryad shifted her roots, growing them at the red cap. They lunged for her feet to grab her. She jumped. Her hammer swung down and struck the dryad hard. Xiamili's fists battered into Leo's face, driving him back to the ground.
"No!"
Garnet shouted in horror. She had to do something to stop Xiamili.
But what?
Everything she had done didn't hurt him. I have to infuriate him.
What? Then it hit her.
This was a burly man. One who thought himself alpha. A stud. Her powers didn't let her make weapons out of shadows, like Yusuku, but sex toys.
The whip was just something she could use in some SNM play. The fact she could attack with it was a bonus. She conjured something different out of shadows. A big, floppy dildo made of rubber. She threw the sex toy at Xiaomili and stuck him in the head as he drew back to batter his fist into her big brother's head again. The floppy dildo struck Xiaomili and wrapped around his head. He snarled and snatched it out of the air. His hands clenched on it.
Why don't you fuck that up your ass? Garnet shouted. I know you're a big butt lover. Bet you have all your orcs paid your dash, you bare fucking bitch.
He roared at her, fury brimming in his face.
Ooh, do you want me to strap one on and peg you?
Garnet asked.
Quay, heh heh, is that why you want me to join your harem? I'll make the biggest dash.
Emasculated fury bellowed from him. My face throbbed. My brain rattled. I had to think. To fight back. He wasn't hitting me but, the world swam around me. I had to.
Life energizes and enervates, let the grace of Lady Ayana empower.
I muttered that a sharp focus swept over me. I gasped as my vision cleared. Xiaomili was looking over at Garnet. She had stood up and created a strap-on dildo. She was stroking the shadowy sex toy thrusting from her crotch. I had my spear still in my right hand, but it was too long to be used easily with how close I was to him.
Yeah, this is what I'll peg your ass with.
Garnet taunted.
You'll just love it.
Sizzling touch, the spark of pain, let the prowess of Lord and Lil stun. I shouted and thrust my left hand, crackling with electricity, up to touch him. He battered my hand away and glared down at me.
From the ground below, let the spikes of Lord Abzu erupt.
The spike of rock appeared between us and slammed into my guts before I could react. I screamed as the pain ripped through my organs and pinned me to the ground. My entire body thrashed. Garnet screamed in horror. Xiaomili smiled.
I will enjoy fucking your succubus when she is mine. Never!
I howled as the agony twisted through me. The rock spike vanished, leaving a gaping hole in my guts. Mrs. Zoe Baldwin hit the ground, her chest aching. Her ribs creaked. She'd heard wood snap. Breathing hurt. The red cap raised the hammer to finish off the dryad. She rolled to the side at the last moment. The hammer hit the ground with a loud thud. Mrs. Baldwin looked around for anyone to help her only to see Havas, the satyr, getting gored by a unicorn. The poor, busted monster girl screamed in pain before she vanished in motes of light. Mrs. Baldwin was on her own. She struggled to stand, getting her feet beneath her. The red cap struck her knee. Her leg folded out from beneath her.
No!
Pain, fury, and terror seized Garnet. This time, when she flung herself at Xiaomili, she didn't go to blind him. She grabbed him from behind and seized his neck. She dug her fingers into his throat, squeezing down on his trachea, crushing him. Her big brother couldn't die. Not her Leo. She was his. His. She would never serve this terrible monster who'd sent monster girls to kill villagers and petrify Halia. Who attacked their home and murdered the man she loved.
Cunt!
Xiaomili barked, forcing the expletive past her choking fingers. His elbow struck her in the face. Pain exploded. Her head snapped back and her wings flapped. Her tail swished. Hot blood poured into her eyes, her brow cut. She didn't care. She kept squeezing and squeezing. She choked the life from him.
Graven wounds pulse in pain.
Groaned Leo.
Let the healing of Lord Dumazid flow.
As he cast his healing spell, Xiaomili did another back slam. He drove Garnet to the ground, his body crushing her. The back plate of his armor smacked into her tits. Pain burst from her nubs. Her battered body struggled to hold on to his throat. He lifted himself and slammed her into the ground again. And again on the third one, her hands sprang from his neck. She whimpered, the pain burning through her entire body. Tears spilled from her eyes. She wanted to be stronger. Xiaomili rose. But she hurt too much to get up and help.
Big brother!
I rose to my feet, the massive hole in my gut, punched through my armor, mended. Blood stained my flesh. Xiaomili rose, leaving my little sister sobbing my name as she lay on the ground, her body twitching. He had hurt her. Abuse her. I stabbed my spear at him, thrusting the crackling point of electrified steel at the armored Xiaomili. He deflected my thrust with his bracer-clad wrists while chanting.
Hard as rocks, let the fist of Lord Abza punch!
A ball of stone punched at me. I darted to the right, the spell hissing past me. I lunged in again with my weapon before I could get another spell off. Xiaomili twisted out of the way and grabbed my spear's half. He yanked it out of my grip and swung it at my legs in a blur of motion. I tried to move, but he struck me. He swept my legs out from beneath me. I crashed down on my back as he moved over me, this big grin on his face. He was stronger. Faster. Had better reflexes than me. I had to do something to change that. I had to use. Within the soul slumbers, let the primal passion of Lady Ayana transform. Pain burst through Mrs. Zoe Baldwin's leg. The red cap stood over her, raising her hammer to finish the dryad off. She groaned, her ribs creaking. She just wanted to give up, but the murderous monster girl's lust-maddened eyes offended Mrs. Baldwin. The desire to hurt and kill was sickening. The red cap was everything that Mrs. Baldwin wasn't. Not a nurturer. Not a woman who soothed and brought joy, but one who spread suffering. Pain. Agony. Abuse. Roots struck the red cap's legs. Mrs. Baldwin grew them up the red cap's calves and thighs, but it wasn't fast enough. The red cap raised her hammer, a blood-curdling smile on the monster girl's beautiful features.
Y-E-S-S-S-S!
She screamed and swung.
Mother Baldwin!
Hooves clopped. Then Ullo, one of the Busta Satyrs, rammed her horns into the side of the red cap, goring the monster girl. Blood spurted from the wounds. The red cap threw back her head, her fiery hair swinging from beneath her red hat.
Bitch!
She snarled as Ullo wrenched her goat-like horns out of the red cap's side.
You don't get to hurt Mother Baldwin!
Bawled Ullo with such passion in her voice. The red cap swung her hammer and struck Ullo in the head. The blow threw the satyr to the ground with a bone-sickening crunch. Mrs. Baldwin's heart broke for the pain the monster girl suffered on her behalf.
You fucking cunt!
Roared from the motherly dryad's lips as Ullo's body vanished into motes. The vines had grown past the red cap's waists and around her large breasts. They climbed higher and higher until they wrapped around the monster girl's throat and over her arms. She pinned the red cap's limbs to her side. She held the bitch immobilized in a prison of roots as she choked the life out of her. This time, there was none of the horrors Mrs. Baldwin felt at killing the fairy. She glared such hatred at the red cap thrashing in her tendrils. They squeezed tighter and tighter. She shoved them into her mouth. They squeezed about her throat, garroting the bitch. Mrs. Baldwin took so much satisfaction in killing the red cap. Footsteps padded by her. She sat up and looked for the sound. She saw nothing there. But a man breathed. She couldn't see them, but there was someone feet away from the dryad. And if it was a man, it had to be lead. I became a massive bear. I roared as black fur sprouted across my body. I swelled larger. Grew stronger. Snarling, I surged up and wrapped Ziamili into the eponymous bear hug. His breastplate crushed into my chest that I squeezed. Metal crumpled beneath my enhanced strength.
Yes,
growled Ziamili. His brawny arms went around my body. He crushed me back.
Let us see who is the stronger. I am Russian. We crush bears like you before breakfast. Then we go fuck your succubi.
I snarled my fury, unable to speak in this form. I squeezed harder. His armor crumpled worse. I crushed him in my embrace. But he growled and tightened his own arms. My ribs creaked. My back arched. He was insanely strong, inhumanly so.
Come on, bear fucker!
He snarled.
Is that all you got? I will break you with ease. Your spine shall snap like a cheap twig.
His hands clasped together and dug into my spine. I roared in pain. Lead is right there. Light magic, right? He must have hidden himself. The thoughts tumbled through Mrs. Baldwin's mind. What could she do? She couldn't let the red cap go. She was still strangling the bitch. But the red cap had a weapon. A hammer. She seized that hammer with her tendrils and wrenched it from the red cap. The monster girl gurgled, dying, her grip loose. Mrs. Baldwin threw the hammer at the sound of the man's breathing. It soared through the air and struck something. Lead cursed and spun around. He hit the ground hard. Just then, the red cap spasmed and then vanished into motes. A vicious surge of triumph spilled through Mrs. Baldwin. She savored her triumph even as she focused on where Lead was.
He's over here! Mrs. Baldwin shouted. Lead is over here.
Garnet whimpered on the ground. Halia turned to stone. So many of my monster girls had died today that I wouldn't let this bastard beat me. Roaring, I tightened my grip. My spine creaked, but his armor deformed. I squeezed the steel into his body. My ribs creaked. Pain burst through one, cracking. I bellowed through the agony and fed it into my crushing limbs. He grunted. Then he groaned. Pain. I heard him. I had him. I just had to keep squeezing. Pop, the sound of his spine breaking resounded in my ears. His body went limp. His arms fell away from me. He gasped and panted. I kept squeezing him, crunching his armor into his body. He spasmed in my arms. Then I let him go. He landed broken on the ground. Blood spilled from his lips. He wheezed, his armor crumpled around his body. Blood oozed through gaps in the metal. I had ruptured his flesh. He stared up at me, his eyes pouring into mine. Stronger. He wheezed and then went still. An orc wrestling with Nim vanished. Power surged through me. I felt the searing on my chest, the glyphs of earth and metal burned into my skin. I turned around, surveying the battlefield. Sviso stood up at the balcony. My mother was pointing at the space before her, shouting something. He's here. I shed my shape-changed form, flowing back into my human appearance. I spat out. Spark of lightning, crackle of electricity, let the wrath of Lord Enlil explode. A bolt of lightning sizzled through the air. From Sviso's, a ball of plasma shot down at the spot. Neither of us hit anything. I heard running. Footsteps crossed the room. I stared at it, panting. Lead was running. I staggered, wanting to chase after him, but every bit of me hurt. I was so sore. Almost all my monster girls had died. My body throbbed with agony. I caught a glimpse of the vine trap reaching down to grab something, but then he was gone. We had won the battle, but that bastard Lead had gotten away. Chapter 33. I staggered into my throne room. I stared at the map. There was one last red dot fleeing the dungeon. He was almost out. Lead had really escaped. It was too much to hope one of the traps would have gotten him on the way out. I groaned, leaning on my mother and little sister. Then Lead was out of my dungeon. Asshole. Garnet hissed.
Yes, he was.
Nim said. The Arachne stood nearby with Sviso's beside her. They, two mermaids, and my hippocampus were the only monster girls who had survived the battle. Our forces had annihilated each other, but my level 1 monster girls had performed amazingly.
They went up against stronger monster girls and still held their own. They wanted to please me. They didn't just serve me, they loved me. I was starting to realize that it wasn't always the case with dungeon builders. They could squander the affection of their monster girls. Just use them as things. It was terrible. I hated making them fight for me. Come on, I said. We got to put our home to right end. The words to the spell to heal Halia rose in my mind. I could fix her. I could make her whole again. I wanted to, but the monster girls who had died for me deserved to be revived first. I had to think about my defenses. What if adventurers wandered in just now? How embarrassing would that be if a party of heroes blundered in before I could restore any of my slain monster girls? I wouldn't die to something like that. Not after coming so far. I continued leaning on my mother. I didn't need to. I had healed us all with life magic, but I felt weary. Drained. Garnet clung to my other arm. She wasn't joking around. So muted. Today had been filled with fresh horrors for us all. I just had to focus on loving my monster girls. Halia. My harem. I needed them to keep my humanity against what we just went through. I had killed my second man. Mthunzi and now Xiamili. My hands had done it. Halia had finished off Jindag for me because I had hesitated, unable to execute him. I had crushed the life out of Xiamili out of fury. Using shape change was such a dumb idea. I could have used better magic. Protected myself with static aura, but he had hurt my little sister, so I had to make him suffer. I hated this dark part of myself. We rode the elevator and passed through the living quarters to the void crystal. Celine was there. She stared at me with such worry in her eyes. She stood upon it, her motherly face twisting with concern for me.
Are you okay, Lord Leo?
She asked, her voice tight with concern.
Yeah.
I lied. I had to be. We were all hurting. We all understood what we had gone through. In some ways, we were soldiers who had gone through the same war. My mother and little sister had been there with me. They understood what I felt.
That's good, Master. She said. You should know that Sarkin's the Red Cap and Zmiaja the Gorgon have refused to serve you. They are now templates for level 1 monsters if you would care to use them.
Good. I growled. I didn't want the Gorgon. Nor the other servant of Xiamili.
Let them be loyal to that dead asshole.
Such an asshole. Garnet said. She puffed out her cheeks and her wings flapped.
He wouldn't let me monologue. Cut me off. Can you believe that?
I smiled for the first time, the pain retreating for a moment.
Just a dick.
Garnet nodded. I grabbed the void crystal. I could feel the potential to summon 2 more companions. 2 more women from my world. Images danced through my mind. Nina Nani, my favorite porn star, Alizi, the head cheerleader at my college, Mrs. Lucina, the MILF next door with that amazing ass, Morena, the bitchy but cute goth girl in my classes, Ms. Truino, my busted Hispanic professor, my older sister Crystal, Hagane, that nerdy Japanese girl, Tara, that perky barista who I love to buy coffee from. I pushed those aside and began reviving my monster girls. All my wildhounds and will-o-wisps, my arachnes and werebears. Satyrs, oozes, one mermaid, and my Quetzalcoatl. Then I revived Bagi, Pani, and Yusuku. I put them all in the hot spring room. They deserved a soak. A chance to relax and recover, and to have a wild orgy. With Lana Fullman and Maya, I summoned them into the vault.
Oh, thank God.
Maya moaned and rushed to me.
I tried. I tried so hard to drown that red cap, but those stupid Yukiana.
I finished her off. Mom said, her voice strangely vicious. I glanced at her. She looked ashamed at her tone and glanced away.
Good.
Maya said.
And Led?
Asked Lana Fullman.
Did we get him? He went invisible. He was killing us. I hurt him with a hammer.
Said my mother. She lifted her head.
He ran away. What a bitch.
Lana groaned. My movie starlet shook her head, her golden hair dancing around her silver shoulders.
Ooh, I want to flay him. Go invisible. What a punk move.
Xiamili's dead though. I said, focusing on the void crystal. I could make more monster girls. I looked over into the earth category. I could make rock elementals and gorgons as level 1 monsters, but why? It wasn't like I had to use them. I hadn't met, let alone fallen in love, with any rock elementals. I refused to make any gorgons, so why bother? For level 2 monsters, I could make basilisks. Did I want basilisks? They had petrifying bites. But they also weren't the Gorgon. They weren't the ones who had petrified my Halia. I had to think about that. I looked at the metal monsters now. Goblins, gnomes, and red caps were the level ones. So Earth must have been his original glyph. I skipped those and settled on making 5 orcs. The first one's name arose in my mind. Zobans. She swirled out of the darkness and appeared nearby. Her breasts bounced and heaved. They were green and large, her nipples pierced by iron rings. So was her clit, the ring standing out between her pussy lips. She had an athletic build to her while her face was gorgeous. A woman with confidence. Her yellow eyes found mine and brimmed with love.
Lord Leo.
She husked, her voice smoky and delicious. My cock stirred. I mean, how could it not with that delectable voice? She advanced on me, the lust in her eyes overpowering. I felt like she could throw me against the wall, and just have her way with me if she wanted. Of course, she wouldn't. I reached out and grabbed her nipple and twisted her nub. She shuddered as I did that. Pain flashed across her face while the light shone in her yellow eyes. Her rubbery nipple twisted all the way around before I released her ring.
You like that?
I said.
Yes.
she groaned, her voice so thick and throaty. Pain and pleasure are so close together, aren't they?
Ooh, can I whip you?
Asked Garnet, her wings fluttering. Shadows flared and her whip appeared in her hands.
Just spank your cute butt with my whip.
The orc smiled. She glanced behind her at Garnet, the orc's thick, black hair spilling over her shoulders.
Are your arms strong enough to even hurt me, succubus?
Garnet's cheeks puffed out in annoyance, and her demon tail slashed the air behind her.
Ooh, they absolutely are. I'll spank you so hard with them. I'll make your ass glow. Yes, I will. Let me spank her, big bro. Let me just whip that naughty ass of hers.
Ooh, I'm so mad right now. Just so hopping mad.
Hopping?
I asked. It's what Mamako says. Garnet said that I had no idea who that was. Some anime character, I guessed.
Let me suck your cock, Lord Leo, while your dainty succubus tries to hurt my ass.
Kudzobins.
Damn.
I groaned, my dick throbbing. The stress of the battle was fading. My monster girls were alive. I had more power. I could relax. I had earned it. I needed a release. To forget the last hour of my life.
Well, Zobins, on your knees and get to sucking.
She cupped my face and kissed me with hunger. Aggression. I felt her love. I closed my eyes, savoring the newest addition to my harem. A sexy and strong orc. And did I want a reptilian basilisk? Of course I did. I wanted all the monster girls. I was even tempted to make a rock elemental or a goblin. Tempted, but I needed the stronger monster girls. I wouldn't replace the ones I had created, but I would make the strongest ones when I gained new glyphs. Zobins broke the kiss.
I am honored to be your vassal and soldier, Lord Leo. I will fight and die and then fight again for you. Hopefully, there'll be no more death.
I groaned as she sank to the ground, her breasts dragging down my body. Her nipples poked hard against me. I shuddered as she knelt before me. She grabbed my dick with her green fingers. She winked a yellow eye at me and then she swallowed my cock. Her lips slid over my dick, her thick hair rustling. She suckled hard. I groaned. My head threw back at the pleasure coursing through my body. Lana and Maya smiled and then pushed my mother against the wall. The Undine and Lightning Sprite latched onto my dried mother's nipples and suckled from them. Mom moaned her delight as she nursed the monster girls.
Oh, Maya.
Mom purred.
You are such a delight.
And Lana.
Oh, my, you're hungry.
Maya's watery but wiggled while Lana Fullman's lightning wings spread wide, electricity arcing between the thicker bolts. I smiled at them as Zobin suckled my dick with hunger. She nursed on my cock with passion, her tongue sliding around it.
Now it's my turn to prove that I, Garnet the cute and adorable succubus, have the strength to whip your ass red and make you squeal in pain and pleasure.
My little sister drew back her whip, her small titties quivering. Her black pigtails danced around her face. The whip flashed down. Crack, Zobin suckled on my dick. Not a moan. Not a groan. It was like she hadn't even been struck. My cock throbbed in her mouth. Garnet puffed out her cheeks and drew back for another whipping strike. Crack, Zobin's bobbed her head. Her mouth and lips worked up and down my shaft, her tongue teasing it. I groaned, savoring the suction. The orc knew how to love a man's dick.
My dick.
I groaned, a smile crossing my lips. Garnet drew back really far this time. The shadowy whip slashed down. Crack, the sound echoed through the room. The orc wiggled her butt. A bright welt raised over her rump, but she didn't grunt or groan. She just kept nursing on my cock. She never stopped pleasuring me. Loving me. Her yellow eyes stared up at me with worshipping love. Garnet stamped her foot in annoyance.
Really? Really?
Nothing?
Nothing.
I said.
I don't think she felt it.
Oh. Garnet's wings flapped.
Zobins, you felt it.
I know you did.
You're just faking it. You won't for long.
Crack, crack, crack. The whip slashed down 3 times in rapid succession. The orc fluttered her tongue around my cock and then slid her lips down my cock. I groaned as the tip of my cock brushed the back of her throat. She winked at me.
Damn.
I groaned as she deep-throated me. Crack, 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 crack. The whip flew before Garnet as she slapped it down fast, a blur of motion. Her pigtails flew and tail swished behind her. Wings flapped. She left red welts around the orc's rump. All Zobins did was yum around my cock, a sound of happy delight as her lips kissed into my pubic hair. Every inch of my dick was down her gullet.
Nothing!
Screeched my little sister. She flapped her wings so hard she rose off the floor and then landed back down. The orc sucked up my cock. I groaned as she kept humming, the buzzing delight massaging the tip of my cock. Then her tongue was massaging the crown, sweeping around it. My orgasm built and built, my balls ready to empty themselves. Garnet paced, muttering to herself.
It's okay, dear.
Our mother moaned as she nursed Maya and Lana.
You did good. Good isn't enough. I have to.
Garnet's words trailed off. She stared at Zobin's welted ass. I could see the light bulb turning on in my little sister's mind. A wicked grin slid over her lips.
Quay, heh heh, I know what to do.
She flicked her whip in an underhanded motion. It uncoiled out, and the tip smacked into Zobin's crack, but not her ass. It went lower. I couldn't tell, but that had to be right on the orc's shaved pussy lips. She squealed around my dick and suckled so hard.
Felt that?
Garnet roared in triumph.
Yeah, you did. You felt my whip kissing those pussy lips.
My little sister did a triumphant dance like she had just scored a touchdown.
She put her hands together as fists, and rotated them in a circle before her while her ass wiggled side to side in a counter direction. Her pigtails danced.
Ooh, you're going to feel my whip!
Garnet moaned and flicked her wrist again. Crack, Zobin squealed again around my cock. She suckled so hard. She bobbed her head with ferocity, pain and pleasure twinkling in her yellow eyes. She was enjoying having her pussy whipped by my little sister. Crack, Zobin's moaned louder. She suckled with passion. Garnet licked her lips. Crack, Zobin's whimpered. She squeezed her eyes shut, her green cheeks hollowing as she suckled with passion on my dick. I groaned, the pressure in my balls rising. Crack, she groaned with throaty pain. And passion. Her tongue caressed my dick.
Fuck!
I groaned, savoring the heat that swelled in my balls.
Oh fuck, Zobin's, here it comes.
Spurred in her mouth, big bro.
Crack,
the orc squealed in delight. Her hips wiggled back and forth. Juices squirted from her pussy. I gaped as I saw the arc of clear liquid gush out of her and splash on the floor 2 feet from her. The sight slammed rapture through me. The orc came from having her pussy whipped out. I erupted.
Fuck, Zobin's!
I groaned, spurting my cum into her mouth.
I did it!
Gasped Garnet.
Ooh, ooh, did you see that? She squirted. Oh my god, I made her come just by whipping her cunt!
Yes, you did, dear. Moan our mother, her voice dreamy with the pleasure of nursing Maya and Lana.
I'm so awesome!
Garnet squealed and did her end zone dance again. I just groaned, my cock erupting over and over. My cum fired into her mouth. I shuddered, the pleasure blazing through my body. It slammed into my mind. My head threw back as I erupted over and over again. I pumped blast after blast of my spunk into my orc's hungry mouth, and she drank it all down. She gulped down my spunk while she moaned through her pleasure. She stared up at me with yellow eyes glossy with her passion. I grinned at her, thrilled that she received her ecstasy. I spurted over and over. I groaned, my pleasure hitting that wild peak. I quivered there as she drank down the last of my cum. Then Zobin slid her mouth off my cock. She stared up at me, her big tits heaving as she sucked in breaths. She stretched out on her back. She spread her legs wide. I stared down at her cunt. Red welt streaked her green vulva. I licked my lips. I wanted to just feast on her. Devour her. Soothe her cunt with my tongue.
Garnet,
I said, glancing at my little sister. You really whipped her pussy?
I did,
she said.
Now you have to kiss it to make it better.
My little sister's eyes widened to the size of two wild moons. Then she squealed and threw herself at me with a flap of her wings. Her lithe body hit me. I grabbed her and spun her around as she rained kisses down on my face.
Yes, 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 let's kiss her pussy all better.
Garnet moaned.
If my lord insists,
Zobin said. The pain is of no matter, and how will kissing my pussy satiate your pleasure?
It'll satiate my desire to devour your cunt.
I told her, winking at her.
You must understand that my son takes great delight in pleasing his women.
My mother said, her arms holding Maya and Lana to her tits.
I see,
Zobin said.
Of course, I will submit, but my pleasure is secondary to yours. The pain is of no matter. The succubus does not whip hard enough.
Garnet's cheeks puffed out.
Big bro, I whipped her hard enough, right?
Right. She came.
Yes, you did,
I said as the orc squirmed on the floor, her green tits jiggling. She spread her legs even wider apart, her welted vulva on display. Zobin's grabbed the iron rings piercing her nipples. The third ring piercing her clit gleamed in her juices. I sank to my knees, my little sister at my side. The scent of the orc's spicy pussy rose in the air. That wonderful musk filled my nose. I savored it, my mouth watering. I was so eager to enjoy her cunt. I would just bury my face into her twat and lick at her. Feast on her. It would be delicious. Amazing. Garnet and I leaned down, her smooth cheek rubbing into mine, and we nuzzled into Zobin's welted pussy. Our tongues licked up and down her folds. The orc shuddered and twisted her iron rings threaded through her nipples, distending those dark green nubs. My tongue ran over her hot flesh, caressing the welts. She groaned, her fingers tugging on the iron rings, stretching out her tits. She released them. They sprang down into jiggling mounds. Then she grabbed them and twisted again, moaning as she did.
Lord Leo!
She groaned.
Yes, yes, I am honored that you are licking me. I am licking you too!
My little sister huffed. Her tongue fluttered up and down while her wings rustled, a wash of air spilling over my back.
See? Licking!
Lord Leo! Groaned the orc.
How delightful!
I caressed her flesh as Garnet growled low and dangerous. Her tongue flicked up to the clit. Then she seized it between her teeth and tugged on it like a playful puppy. The orc gasped in delight, her fingers twisting her nipple rings.
Oh, Lord Leo, your tongue is amazing!
Zobin's groaned, her voice full of smoky passion. I caressed over the welts as Garnet kept tugging on the orc's clit ring. The bud distended and twisted, the orc gasping and moaning. More cream leaked out of her pussy, the spicy delight coating my lips and chin. I caressed it all up. I licked that passion with hunger, my dick throbbing hard. My heart pounded in my chest, a wild beat that swept through my body. I caressed up and down her flesh, sliding over the welts.
Yes, yes, Lord Leo!
Zobin's moaned.
You honor me. Your tongue is amazing.
Garnet released the clit ring.
What about me?
Huh?
Are you doing something?
My little sister shrieked and grabbed the clit ring hard, tugging. The orc bucked, her tits heaving. She moaned in obvious delight at what my little sister did. Garnet growled with such angry passion,
almost savage. I thrust my tongue into Zobin's pussy itself. That wonderful sheath swallowed my tongue. She tasted so delicious. I fluttered my tongue around in the spicy depths, the cuntal walls squeezing about me in such a wicked way. My dick twitched and throbbed at the delight of her passion. The orc groaned, Garnet still tugging on the clit ring. Zobin's pussy clamped down and relaxed on my tongue, her juices growing hotter and hotter.
Lord Leo, my unworthy pussy is about to come, gasped the orc.
She twisted her nipple rings about and released them, the iron rings blurs as they snapped back around.
Lord Nabu's massive cock. I'm going to come.
Garnet released the clit ring.
I'm the one playing with your clit piercing. I'm the one making you come.
No. Zobin's moaned, my tongue dancing through her pussy.
You are Lord Leo's chattel, as I am. Therefore your acts are his. What you do to me is at his behest and therefore he gets the credit. And Lord Leo, you are giving me such credit.
Garnet shrieked.
That's so stupid. I mean I am his chattel, but that doesn't mean I'm not making you feel good when I do this.
She snagged the ring again and tugged, distending the orc's clit. Zobin's pussy clenched about my tongue. She gasped out.
Lord Leo!
Her twat convulsed. Juices gushed out of her cunt and bathed my mouth. A flood of her passion spilled out of her. I groaned, drinking down her passion. It was such a treat. I savored it flowing over my tongue. I licked and lapped it up, my tongue caressing over her hot flesh. She bucked and trembled on the floor. Her moans echoed through the vault room, mixing with my mother's as she nursed the others. I licked up the spicy passion. Garnet joined me. Zobin's pierced tits heaved and smacked together.
Lord Leo!
She moaned.
Your passion is wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you for loving my unworthy cunt.
I loved her unworthy cunt, muttered Garnet.
MMM, go sit on her face and make her love your worthy cunt.
I groaned out and my little sister squealed in delight. She scrambled up the orc and planted her pussy right on the orc's face. Garnet's back was to me, her cute rump clenching, her red demon tail swishing back and forth. Her wings fluttered as she moaned in delight.
Make me come, moaned Garnet. Make me explode, Zobin's. As Lord Leo commands, so do I happily obey.
Zobin's groaned. Garnet gasped in delight. I smiled and rose, my dick throbbing. I stared down at my cock, looking past the glyphs on my chest. They were smaller, and there were two new ones. They were simple shapes. One was a narrow triangle pointing up, probably a peak, and the other was a rectangle. A bar of metal, I pressed my cock into Zobin's pussy. Her hot flesh coated my dick with her juices. I was so eager for that. I thrust into her cunt with a hard plunge. I rammed my dick forward. Her flesh spread over my cock. She swallowed me.
Lord Leo.
She moaned into my little sister's cunt.
Oh, Lord Leo, yes.
I loved the sound she made as I slid to the hilt in her. That tight cunt squeezed about me. It was majestic to feel. A great delight squeezing over my dick. I shuddered, drawing back my hips. Her cunt squeezing about my shaft, massaging me with her powerful grip. My balls rested against her taint, while her pussy clenched and relaxed around my dick. I loved that delight. I watched my little sister's tail swish back and forth as she enjoyed the orc's licking and lapping. I drew back my hips. The wonderful delight of the orc's pussy gripped me. I groaned, the pleasure rushing down my shaft and soaking in my nuts. I thrust back into her, savoring the feel of her pussy about my dick. She felt amazing. Incredible. I groaned, my heart pounding in my chest. It was passionate to enjoy. A true delight. I slid my hands up and squeezed her tits. I grabbed those big and soft mounds, her iron nipple rings glinting as they jiggled.
Goddamn.
I groaned, pumping away at her.
I know.
Moaned my mother.
MMM, fuck her hard.
I glanced over to see Maya kneeling, her watery face pressed into my mother's pussy. Lana Fullman was behind Maya rimming the Undine's asshole. I loved the sight, my dick throbbing as I fucked Zobin's tight pussy. My hands squeezed and kneaded Zobin's tits as I fucked her. I shuddered, the ache building at the tip of my cock with my every thrust. My little sister's moans echoed through the vault, rising over the hum of the void crystal. Celine watched from her perch, rubbing her pussy.
Fuck her hard, Lord Leo.
She moaned.
Yes, yes, fuck her hard.
Garnet moaned.
Ooh, she's got her tongue in my pussy. She's devouring me with such passion. She loves my cunt. I love the cunts of all of Lord Leo's chattel.
Groaned the orc. Her green hands grabbed Garnet's pale rump, fingers digging into her flesh.
Oh yes, yes, it is a taste that is majestic and delicious.
I grinned, thrusting away hard and fast. I buried to the hilt in her snatch with passion. I plunged in deep and hard, savoring the way her cunt squeezed about my dick. That wonderful delight gripped me. My dick twitched and throbbed. I threw back my head, pumping away with such passion. My cock plunged to the hilt in Zobin's pussy, my balls smacking into her taint. The pressure rose in them. I hurtled towards a big explosion of bliss.
Goddamn.
I groaned.
Zobin's, your pussy is so hot and tight. I am so thrilled my unworthy pussy pleases you, Lord Leo.
She moaned.
Big time. Your cock is bigger than Lord Nabla's.
She moaned.
Yes, yes, you outstrip the god of metal's prowess. I'm going to come on your cock.
Come on him, Zobin's. Moaned Garnet.
That is a command. Yes, Lord Leo. I'm Garnet.
My sister hissed.
You are but chattel.
Your commands are Lord Leo's commands.
Zobin's voice grew throatier.
And I obey all of Lord Leo's wonderful commands.
I. Yes.
As I slammed into her cunt, her pussy went wild around my dick. I groaned at the pleasure rippling about my flesh. Zobins moaned and then suckled. Garnet gasped, her back stiffening. Her tail froze and her wings twitched. Then she squealed in delight and bucked. I knew the sounds of my little sister's orgasms. Her wings flapped hard and her tail swished back and forth. She tossed her head while I pumped away at Zobins's pussy. Her flesh rippled around my cock, sucking at me in such a delightful way. I buried to the hilt in her cunt. I slammed deep and hard into her snatch. Her flesh convulsed around me. The pleasure was intense. I shuddered, loving the feel of that cunt writhing around me. My dick throbbed, twitched, and then erupted. Fuck yes. I groaned and basted my orc's cunt with my seed. Lord Leo. She moaned, her pussy convulsing around my cock. Yes, 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 that's so good. That's amazing. Her flesh was so hot. So silky. I groaned and buried into my orc's cunt. I threw back my head and exploded in bliss. My cock spurted blast after blast of cum into her pussy. Pleasure slammed into my mind. I threw back my head, stars bursting across my vision. Oh god, yes. I groaned, pumping more and more of my jizz into her snatch. Lord Leo. She groaned. Oh big bro, you made me cum. Garnet whimpered. Not Zobins. You. Yes. The orc agreed. I am but his will extended. I shuddered, my orgasm hitting the peak of pleasure. I pumped the last of my cum into her pussy. I panted, my heart racing. The stars before my eyes dwindled. I panted, drawing in deep breaths as my gaze shot to the void crystal. I had more orcs to create. This story is continued in the next part. You have been listening to this podcast on the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. To support the free Erotica podcasts, visit our Patreon link. This will allow us to continue providing free content, as well as it gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choosing. Links for everything are in the podcast description.